Welcome to episode 124 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassina, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levinstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. On today's show, we talk about books you probably read 6 months ago, because that's just how far behind we are. We are slowly becoming Adam Murdo, minus the mutton chops. Here now, Comic Timing. I like that. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 124 of Comic Timing. It's been a little while, but we still in style, and Brent Cassina has got himself a large number of books, and as do I. What's up, Brent?
Holy shit.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about all of the books that we haven't been talking about for Review Corner, but we are going to catch ourselves up. Once this episode is out, doesn't matter how many books we haven't talked about, we're caught up. That's it. All right. I mean, if you guys read them and you want to talk about them on the forums, please, by all means. But we're slackers.
If they want to talk about it on the forums, who goes on our forums anyway?
Yeah. Right.
No one.
Except to say, great episode. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Move on.
Appreciate it.
We love you guys, really. We really do. But you're not there, so that's fine. But it's partially our fault.
You should be there. Mm.
But yeah, we're going to do a review corner on this episode, talk about a bunch of books that we should have talked about ages ago. And I'm just going to throw it out there. What do you want to start with, Brent? Because I'll be happy to start with whatever you want to start with.
Let's start with Moon Knight.
Okay.
Number one.
All right.
He leaves his house in this one.
Dude, I really like this.
Yeah, really?
It's just for a recap, it's Brian Michael Bendis, Alex Maleev, and those two. So I mean, it's the Daredevil team.
Yeah,
I really like this.
Okay,
I don't know why you don't.
Well, I don't know. It's just like it felt like to me that I was reading Brian Michael Bendis's best impersonation of Frank Miller. Opening,
I liked it, and the twist at the end is what got me. I mean, I knew that. He was going to be, like, you know, impersonating certain superheroes of the Marvel Universe and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the way it ended, it just with the shot and the art and stuff like that, it was just a killer ending to the first issue to make you go, oh, well, those guys aren't really there, but I've been reading them the whole issue. But they were. Okay. That's different.
That should be par for the course from Moon Knight, because he's not all there. He never really has been. He continues to not be all there.
Never been all there,
which just actually makes me wonder, like, whether or not Steve even recruited him for the Secret Avengers, or he just showed up.
I think he did, because I don't think Brubaker can write mind fucks like that.
Really, really?
Criminal. I haven't read Criminal. Okay. Maybe that's the mind fuck book. Anyway,
it is kind of mind fucky, but I mean, the art's pretty and everything. It's just, it takes a lot for me to care about Moon Knight as a character.
Well, see, I grabbed on this. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to grab on Moon Knight, and I'm getting the issues after number one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, as long as Bendis and Maleev are on it, I'm going to give it a shot as a character. Mm-hmm. And so far, it's been pretty rewarding. I mean, so the basic concept, if you people aren't caught up or anything, I mean, in the fourth issue's out, I think. It's kind of embarrassing. Moving on, we're not going to say that anymore. We're not embarrassed at all.
No, not at all.
Anyway, so basic concept is Moon Knight is out in L.A., he's like the, you know, the only Avenger out there, or only superhero.
Except for the Runaways.
And there's a new, they don't exist anymore, technically.
Runaways.
So Ron comes back, which will never happen. Anyway, so, unless they make a movie of it, it'll still never happen. Yeah. Anyway, so, okay, we got it. So there's a new criminal underworld going on in L.A., and then Moon Knight is out there, and Mark Spector is like his main playboy persona. But coincidentally, interestingly, he started a television series about his adventures over in Egypt. So that's kind of interesting. So you have a whole little like Hollywood angle in L.A.
His name is now Dr. Daniel Jackson, and he finds a Stargate, and then his adventures continue in Atlantis and Universe. No?
Is this Kurt Russell or the guy from Pensacola?
Oh, God. Moving on.
Sorry, ice in my mouth.
What you drinking over there?
Drinking. Amaretto with some Sprite and what is it, the sweet and sour mix mixer.
Nice.
Really good. It's really good.
If I continue to sweat like a pig in this room, I might go grab myself a beer, but for now it's just water.
I will allow you to do so, my friend.
Okay.
So I'm actually looking through the second issue because I couldn't find the first, but that's pretty much it's a conversation between Moon Knight. You kind of get his new status quo set up, and then it's a long conversation between himself, Wolverine, Captain America, and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. To the point where you pretty much think they're there. I mean, Maleev illustrates everything in his typical Maleev way.
Yeah.
And they're all there. They're all interacting with each other until the issue ends. And then you find out, you know, it's a pullback shot and it's just Moon Knight standing on the top of a rooftop by himself.
Which is, you know, pretty close to having all three of them being standing there telling him all this stuff. Because
right.
He's Moon Knight. Doesn't matter
pretty
either way.
Close.
Would you consider this to be standard Maleev art? Because it looks kind of different to me. I'm not digging it, but this is a little different
compared to the stuff he did in like the New Avengers Illuminati stuff. This is standard. Like this is his closer to Daredevil Maleev art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's still a little scratchier. It's not as perfectionist, but I'm digging it.
It's you right know, for I, Moon Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's right for Moon Knight. So. Just, you know, in issue two, just to kind of give you an idea as to how he starts going, and he, you know, he's impersonating these superheroes as well. Mm-hmm. So in issue two, he breaks up this woman, like, stripper gang, and but not really he does it. You see Moon Knight in costume at the beginning of the issue, but then once he goes to dispatch these bitches, you know, pun intended, that's not really a pun. Anyway, he shows up in a fucking Spider-Man costume with these Moon Knight gauntlets on his wrists. And then the Moon Knight gauntlets also spout three blades a la Wolverine. So it's like Spider-Man with Wolverine gauntlets screaming and, you know, cutting people up.
So what he's wearing on the cover of the first issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Okay.
Take the Spider-Man glove. He's in a full Spidey outfit.
Yeah.
And then you put like these silver, almost like Wonder Woman bracelets over the glove. So you can't see the red on the Spidey outfit on his hand.
Gotcha.
And those spout the metal blades.
Okay.
So it's kind of it's an interesting visual, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And then he gets unmasked. And it's like, hello, why aren't you wearing your Moon Knight mask underneath your Spidey mask? Doesn't that make sense just a little?
That would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Anyway, Maya Lopez pops up, Echo, one of Bendis' favorite characters
finally.
Who no one else likes to use.
Fucking finally, dude.
And then the next issue, Bullseye shows up, and that's pretty satisfying. Bullseye fight and stuff like that. And I haven't read the fourth one yet, but I'm enjoying it. I like it.
That would be She-Bullseye? Or He-Bullseye?
No, He-Bullseye.
He-Bullseye? He-Bullseye still alive?
I think he got brought back in Shadowland. I'm not sure.
Again?
It beats me, dude. He's there. Or no, maybe. I can't remember. He's on the fucking cover. I want to say it was... Oh, that's right. So he's got this special effects guy that used to work for S.H.I.E.L.D. or some shit like that. It used to be like a secret agent. But the Bullseye thing turned out to be like a hologram, some sort of training program this guy developed.
Okay. All right.
Like a tale from the past.
I'll like Scarlet Spider back in the day.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was cool.
All right.
So I'm digging Moon Knight.
Okay. All
Your
right.
turn.
Well, I mean, maybe I'll pick it up and trade. I'll you know, maybe I missed something. But it just felt like it was a little too, why am I reading this for me? But, oh well. So you haven't picked up, you did pick up Captain America, The Fighting Avenger. You just haven't read it yet, right?
Yes. Normally when I get my box, I pull out the comics and I pull out what I want to read first. Mm-hmm. And usually the independent picks end up last. Mm-hmm. And just the way things worked out, it stayed at the bottom of the pile and bottom of the pile and bottom of the pile and kept getting stacked. Until finally I needed to move them out of my comics, out of my bedroom and into my filing room or whatever.
But,
you know,
but Brent, this isn't an independent comic. This is a Marvel comic.
Right, but it looks like a cartoon, so therefore it got shitted to the bottom of the pile.
All right, well the writer of this is Brian Clevenger, who might be a name that you're somewhat familiar with. If you Atomic Robo?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I did read Atomic Robo number one on my phone. I liked it very much.
Okay. Well, that's the man behind that. And the art is by someone who neither of us have heard of, Mr. Gurahiro.
Gurahiro!
Who is definitely Japanese or aping a Japanese style here. The art is probably most comparable to me, at least, to the manga and anime series Fullmetal Alchemist. which you might have seen at, you know, like a MegaCon or something like that, while passing the bins and seeing random anime nerds dressed up as characters from it. But this reminds me a lot of that. Story, incredibly fun. Like, this is the book that, if it was coming out monthly, I'd be reading it on a monthly basis. It's just like, it's a very relaxed take on Captain America. And basically the premise here is the character of Captain America has just appeared on the scene. Like, he literally just went through the transformation into Cap from just being puny Steve Rogers, you know, similar to the way the movie worked. In fact, a lot of the things in this are similar to the movie, but
Is this the movie universe, a own universe?
This is its own separate beast.
Okay.
Yeah, which is another reason why it probably didn't go past the one-shot phase, because I think Marvel was trying to cut back on their alternate universe takes or whatever. This could be its own beast.
What costume they want to give him. He's got the helmet from the movie.
Yeah.
He's got the shiny middle from Bucky's costume, and then his pants from the Ultimate.
Yeah. No, he's a little bit of everything and all thrown in here. And this is really, like, this entire issue is an origin story for Cap. And I guess you can call them the Howling Commandos, but they might not even be. They're just like a battalion. At this point, Cap doesn't even have a name. Like, they make jokes throughout it that the commanding officer keeps calling him all these different names because they haven't decided on what they're going to call him yet.
He does have an A on his head. I just realized.
Yes, he does.
Because on the cover, he's wearing a standard army helmet.
Yeah, no, I know. And in the actual book, when he goes out into the field, he's wearing the army helmet on top of that. But yeah, he does have the A when he's not, because extra gear, I guess, makes sure you don't get shot in the head and die.
Smart.
Yeah, of Smart. Course. But just to give you an example here, you will be taking on a new recruit, the American. The who? What are we calling him now? Asian Shield? Old Glory? The American Eagle? So they haven't even decided on exactly what they're going to call him yet.
That's funny.
And he's being called in to with this battalion of men blow up a bridge in Germany. Basically, it's a test run for Captain America, and none of the guys on the squad want anything to do with this guy. They think he's dressed up like a flag and he's going to get them all killed. Because he's basically just like a, you know, shoot us here symbol. But he does actually turn out to be useful, like Captain America is in many situations. And obviously the initial thing goes horribly wrong, because what else is new? It's a Marvel comic and it involves Captain America, so nothing ever goes swimmingly there. So they get to the bridge, and immediately German tanks show up. And right away, Captain America throws his mighty shield, and it's not the reaction that you normally expect, because this is pretty much the first time he's ever thrown that thing. And there's even the line, "Shields are not for throwing! Shields are not for throwing!" as he's running through the fire of bullets that's aiming right at him afterwards. So this is a very, very novice Captain America here, with a group of more experienced army men. Who kind of don't want him there, and that's the fun of it. And he meets basically very similar to the movie. He meets Baron von Strucker, who is not in the movie, but will probably be in the next one. Eventually, he meets a Dr. Schmidt, and we all know who Dr. Schmidt turns into, because he takes his own serum, becomes the Red Skull, battles Cap. Cap beats
his
ass.
Wait. He's not Agent Smith?
What's up?
He's not Agent Smith?
No, he's not Agent Smith. He's Dr. Schmidt.
I thought it was Agent Smith.
No. Agent Smith is from Men in Black.
No, Mr. Smith, isn't that the guy from The Matrix.
Oh, Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. Yes, that's what I'm trying to think of.
Thank you.
Wow, that died horribly because you didn't pick up on it.
It took me a minute there. But no, because I'm looking at the comic and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, Mr. Schmidt? No, it's Dr. Schmidt. Oh, you're making a bad Matrix
joke. Ass.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. He does look a little bit like him throughout the comic, but not entirely. And he winds up taking his own serum halfway through the fight with Cap. And all of his skin burns off, and he becomes a Red Skull. And it's a very, like I said, it's very fast paced because they have to get through the entire story in this one issue. It was initially going to be a miniseries, then it was going to be two issues, then they cut him down to one, and it does read like something that would lead to something else, but as of now, it is not on the schedule. But I'd recommend picking it up in back issue bins if you haven't. It's just genuine comic book fun with some nice peppy art to go along with it and some good humor, too.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will definitely read it then. Shields are not for throwing.
Shields are not for throwing. Shields are not for throwing. Shields are not for throwing.
Cool.
So since we just talked about Cap, you want to talk about Cap?
Sure.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Let's go. Let's get all the Captain America out of the way. So, Captain America number one.
Dog's going nuts.
Oh, really?
Oh, wonderful. You hear him?
Well, tell him to shut up.
Baxter! Hey! I'm going to leave this in, too.
You are going to leave it in, because you're just that type of man. While Brent goes to deal with a dog that has gone murderous, we pause for a moment here on Comic Timing to reflect on why we haven't done a review corner in the past 6 months. It's because we're lazy bastards. That's right. Lazy, horrible bastards.
Hey, we're not apologizing. Not apologizing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you weren't in the room.
We're not embarrassed.
Really thought you weren't in the room. That's why I was...
Okay, so Captain America number one.
Mm-hmm.
Brubaker, Steve McNiven.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one with much better art than the other one.
Ooh, burn.
I'm sorry. I don't understand the Chris Samnee love.
Yeah.
It's fucking like fourth grader shit. I drew that way in fourth grade.
Nah, man. I wouldn't quite say that.
I don't understand it. I didn't like his shit in the old Captain America series. So when they said Chris Samnee on art, I was like, fuck that. I'm sorry. And I looked at the Thor thing that was... so hyped and shit like that.
Thor to Mighty Avenger?
Yeah, whatever. I'm sorry, pass.
All right.
Chris Samnee is like, you know, he's like a vampire and I'm a wooden cross. I'm sorry, dude.
Please send your hate letters to Brent.
That's fine.
Dot That's Casina. Because
okay. I'll mail them all to Chris Samnee and just say, I hate your shit.
God, man. So, Steve McNiven.
I'm allowed to say I'm not digging stuff.
I know you're allowed. I know you're allowed, but you're basically like, you're blacklisting this man from the way you're describing it.
Well, until he changes his art style, I mean, you know,
all right.
Whatever.
All right.
Okay,
you're
so,
allowed. You're allowed.
Captain America number one, Ed Brubaker, continuing the tradition, mm-hmm. and Steve McNiven making a return to regular Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who's coloring this one?
Justin Ponsner.
What
yes.
the fuck is Mo doing?
I don't know. Yeah, where the hell is Maury Hollowell, man?
I mean, Justin Ponsner does a stand-up job mm-hmm. and proves me wrong that Maury Hollowell isn't the only one that can color Steve McNiven.
I agree.
Because when Dave Stewart did it on the Spider-Man issue, I'm sorry, it did mm-hmm. not look great.
Well, and a different inker than usual.
Dexter
on
Vines
this too.
Isn't inking him, too. Yeah. We have Mark Morales.
Mm-hmm.
Great inker by himself, too.
I agree.
So yeah, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. What I really dug about this is that I didn't actually know exactly when time frame this was going on, because you would think that it's happening after Fear Itself, but
we'll call it after Fear Itself.
Yeah,
because he puts it back on after You Know Who Bites the Cake.
Yes, I am well aware of it. It's just what that is kind of what I liked about this this issue, though, is that it just felt like it could have happened in like at any point during Captain America's run. You know, it didn't have to be like you didn't really need to know about current Marvel Comics to enjoy this issue.
And you don't really need to know Cap's history either.
No.
Like all the stuff that's been happening in the previous Captain America run, just throw that shit out the window because mm-hmm. this is a brand new start.
Yeah, you got Sharon Carter, bam. You got Steve Rogers, bam. You got Nick Fury, bam.
Nick Fury being Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Think about fucking time.
Yeah.
You have Hydra, and you have this guy from the past that he teamed up with at one point in time is now the villain.
Yeah.
But actually,
which seems to happen a lot.
The past storyline's pretty interesting. So
yeah, no, I like that a lot.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. How old is Dum Dum Dugan? Did he take the same serum that that Nick Fury took?
I don't know, but Neil McDonough did not make a great looking Dum Dum. Sorry,
that was a
like
weird
Neil
mustache.
Lord. Anyway,
although I did like that the old man the young man in the previous story, you know, the comatose man in the wheelchair looks shockingly like Stan Lee.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
True believers, Jimmy Jupiter. There we go. That's his name. But no, I liked the story overall, man. It was very fast paced and a whole bunch of shit going down, and the art was pretty.
Mm-hmm. I just hope McNiven can keep it up.
I certainly hope so too, because if there's one man that falls behind, I can't even say quite often, because the last work he did on Spidey all came out on time.
Yes, because he did it all ahead of time.
Yes. And he's been doing a bunch of this ahead of time,
but
too.
You know what? He is the man that caused that huge disruption in Civil War when the entire line fell back a whole month. And every podcast that one could listen to at the time, which is smaller than it is now, did an episode about the delay.
Including Comic Timing.
Including us. That's right.
That was right after David Price quit the show, too. That says how long ago that was, man. But like, look, who even remembers that anymore? I mean, come on. And Civil War was forever ago.
That's right.
I mean, Cap's come back from the dead since then. No, I like this issue a lot, and I'm definitely gonna move forward with it. It's basic in a lot of ways. It's just like the next arc of Ed Brubaker's Cap run, but you know, a new start.
Brubaker is still the guy to go for Cap, I think, and years later, I think he's going to be. I mean, obviously, he's going to be up there in the legendary Cap runs.
Oh yeah, no. Oh, speaking of legendary Cap runs, did you hear that they finally are releasing that the real Red Skull issue that Mark Waid did during his run?
I did read that on Comic Book Resources. Yeah.
Yeah, forever ago. That's the entire reason he quit the book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Also, speaking of Nick Fury, you read Secret Warriors until the end, right?
I have 28 in my pile. I've not touched it.
Go ahead.
What I thought was weird is that 28 came out, mm-hmm. and nobody talked about it.
Yeah, I know.
And I flipped through the book at the shop before I got my shipment, mm-hmm. like way late today.
Yeah.
And but DCBS did send me replacements, so they're good customer service.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was looking through it, and it was like nothing. It looks like Talking Heads. And I was like, I don't even remember what happened in 27. What the hell?
See, I actually was about 5 issues behind on Secret Warriors, and I just sat down and I read them all, and I found all my issues of Secret Warriors, so now I can reread it from 1 to 28 if I want to, and it was a satisfying conclusion. I mean, there is a little bit of a talking headness going on, but it does feel like the wrap-up to all the storylines that are going down. So it's a little bit of a slow mover, but it's moving fast enough for my taste. So let me know what you think once you've actually sat down and read it.
Okay, I'll be interested to read it.
Cool. You know, let's touch on real quick, because I'm not sure whether or not we actually did talk about this back in the day, but I'll mention it really quickly since I am pretty much caught up on Fear itself, and that's why Invincible Iron Man number 500.1 is even funnier now. Hello, my name is Tony Stark.
I'm an alcoholic.
And I'm an alcoholic. Here's all the bad shit that happened to me while I was an alcoholic. I will never do that again. I promise. Read Fear Itself, issue 3. Enough said.
Honestly, are you liking Fear Itself?
So far, yes.
So I'm not getting the same like excitement out of Fear Itself as I did with Secret Invasion and Civil War and even I mean Siege had some good moments in it, and I like that it was short.
Okay,
but it had some shockingness. But for whatever reason, when I'm reading Fear Itself, it's just like ho hum, you know. Well, I was like, oh, he's drinking out of a bottle. Shocking to me.
Let me rephrase that though. I didn't like issue 1. Okay, issue 1, nothing happened. And I freaking hate it when the first issue of a series, especially a miniseries, nothing happens.
Especially an event. That should be my hook, you know?
I agree. Yeah.
Because to me, I don't know what the hook is to Fear Itself.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the Asgardian Thor brother, you know, or Odin's all-father, brother, whatever he is, cousin, uncle, comes back. I mean, yeah, that's cool and all, but as an event, it, you know... He's a made-up character. I mean, they're all made up, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a brand-new character, and he doesn't really say any threat.
I keep expecting him to say, Thor, I am your father's, sister's, brother's, cousin's, uncle's, roommate! So what does that make you to me? Absolutely nothing.
Does he do it in the Rob Schneider accent too?
Sure, why not?
Because that's what you sounded like, Rob Schneider.
Yes, well, I was more going for a, you know, actual Mel Brooks-ish type thing, but I guess I sound more like Rob Schneider when I'm trying to do Mel Brooks. So that's
hey,
that's
Rob
great.
Schneider's part Jewish, isn't he? So hey, here part- you go.
Yeah, no. Well, yes, I've heard the Hanukkah song multiple times, so I know that Rob Schneider is Jewish. But no, first issue didn't grab me. Second issue grabbed me a little bit more. Third issue really had me going. And what really made it for me, actually, was the Invincible Iron Man issue that came directly after Fear Itself, number three. Because I freaking love how you can't tell how much of that is actually happening.
That's the most recent one, right?
Yeah, that's the most recent okay. one.
I haven't read that one yet.
Okay. Put it this way. It's Tony and a bunch of trolls, actual trolls, and half the shit you can't actually tell whether or not it's happening in Tony's head because he's drunk off his ass or whether it's actually happening.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. And there's plenty of cursing and tomfoolery and sharing beers with dwarfs and trolls and all that. So,
it's
yeah.
good that he can do that now.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. It's great how he can go on benders that'll not at all affect his effectiveness in the field.
But yeah, so back to 500.1. It's mm-hmm. a great recap of Tony Stark from then to now.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, honestly, I felt like that's what the 500-point like fraction got the idea.
Yes.
And figured it out. Unlike some other point one issues that I read.
Captain America one was actually pretty on point because that led up a little bit to Steve putting the colors back on.
Yeah, that one was good.
Yeah.
I didn't see the need for a point one issue for Ghost Rider when the series is just restarting. I'm sorry.
Well,
couldn't get it.
Couldn't you have just called it issue zero or issue one? Because it felt more like an issue one to me.
It did. You know, 0.1. We'll talk about that later. What was another one? The Spider-Man one I liked.
Spider-Man one was great, but it had nothing to do with the current... Yeah, it had nothing to do with current Spider-Man. That's what pissed me off.
It wasn't really a jumping on point.
No, it was a jumping on point for the Venom series.
I think I read the Iron Man 2.0 one.
Yeah.
One. It was like 7.1. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, it just started.
I didn't read that because I haven't been picking up the series, so comments on that.
I stopped.
I did read Avengers 0.1. That was good.
Yeah, the new Avengers with the Hitch art.
Well, yeah, no, that was good
Avengers
stuff.
Avengers or
that was
that?
Straight up Avengers because the new Avengers 0.1 is first coming up now.
Okay, I haven't read that yet.
Yeah.
That's the Neil Adams stuff?
Yeah, the Neil Adams New Avengers one I haven't read yet either because, again, it's not out yet. The one I'm talking about is the Hitch Avengers 0.1.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, good.
That was awesome.
Yes, that was awesome. And
awesome shit.
It'd be great if we actually get to that in the books eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Were there any other 0.1s that I picked up? Secret War. Secret Avengers, I haven't actually read yet because I'm like 4 or 5 issues behind on that. So
I read that one.
Yeah?
I can't remember what it was about.
Okay. Wasn't that Spencer's first issue?
Sure.
Wow. Are you even picking it up anymore?
Yeah, I still have it.
Okay.
I still have Secret Avengers. It's on my pile.
Is it any good?
I'm kind of waiting for Warren Ellis to start.
Ah.
I mean, they're doing Fear Itself stuff, but it's like, I'm not really into Fear Itself, so I'm glad I didn't pick up any of those tie-ins.
Uncanny X-Men actually has been good because that's at least continuing the storyline in X-Men outside of Fear Itself.
Okay.
And you know, the Avengers talking heads have just been amusing for the Spider-Woman Hawkeye stuff.
Yeah, that's been good. See, I'm not an X-Men reader because, honestly, I feel like they keep trying to re-energize the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like none of these, like, what was it? The first coming. No, the big event they had where they had the baby.
Messiah Complex?
Messiah Complex.
Yeah.
I read that. That was awesome.
Yes, it was.
For whatever reason, I didn't read Second Coming, but they did like, they've had like 3 or 4 relaunches of the X-Men line, it feels like, in the past couple years.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is wrong with the X-Men line if you keep relaunching it? I mean,
You know, my favorite thing is Marvel Comics ragging on DC for all of their new number ones, and then restarting.
They have to relaunch X-Force every 12 issues.
Yeah, they relaunch X-Force every 12 issues. Ultimate Spider-Man is getting an issue one. Uncanny X-Men's getting an issue one. Captain America just had an issue one. Fantastic Four is going well. Okay, that's just going straight back to 500. But you know, there's a bunch of restarts still happening over at Marvel. So you know, kettle meet pot. That's just,
yeah. Okay. Well, let's get back to our books. Okay. I'm gonna pull out Super Dinosaur.
Okay. All right. Super Dinosaur. That was fun.
Yes. This is a Robert Kirkman book, drawn by Jason Howard from Astonishing Wolfman, whom I think I read a couple issues of that. Maybe. This is totally like give your kid this shit.
Oh yeah.
This is his kid book, and I listened to his Word Balloon interview today, which Marty Pascal, man, love to talk to that guy sometime.
Yeah, why not?
Interesting. Anyway, so it's a talking dinosaur and a kid. I'm still not sure how the dinosaurs exist in this world, but basically they're all like humanoid dinosaurs except for this one.
Yeah.
So Super Dinosaur is just a regular dinosaur, but he's smart and he talks. But in order to be able to reach stuff, they built this mechanical armature to put on him.
Yeah.
So he has like muscle. It looks like he has a fist and muscles and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then underneath, he still has his little T-Rex arms, which is kind of cute.
It's like a harness.
But it's cool. Well, there was some animated series like back when we were kids that had this type of stuff.
Yes, there was.
Like dinosaurs going to war with each other. I can't remember the name of it.
Fucking hell, man! It wasn't like Primal or something like that, was it? Or
I don't know.
Either way, though, this entire book read like an animated series pitch.
Yes, and I would like to watch this animated series. It looks cool.
As would I.
My favorite part about this book is that Super Dinosaur actually controls his arms with joysticks on his suit. It was so cool.
Well, and that's why I loved it when they
with
bust
his tiny arms.
Yeah, that's why I loved it when they bust into his room and he's playing like what looks like Xbox and like the only thing he has to say is
"Sup." No, he looks like Sega Genesis controller.
Old school, gotta love it. Yeah, isn't it just that like dinosaurs lived like in the center of the Earth because the Earth is hollow?
Something about that. I can't remember. He kind of recaps it, and his dad's like a scientist and stuff like that coming up with all these cool things. And it turns out that the kid is really smart, too. And like his dad would get to a certain point in the formulas or whatever and then be like, oh, I can't figure this crap out. And then the kid would finish it. So the kid's really smart and rides a bowling ball.
Which I must admit, if I could ride a bowling ball, I would. My favorite part about the bowling ball is that it looks like Alan the Alien's head on a bowling ball.
It looks like it's a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Head.
Well, yeah, no, it does, but it only has one eye, so that's why it looks like Alan to me.
The only part I didn't really understand about the issue, and I read it a long time ago, is the family that comes in at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. Like, I felt like maybe, you know, just start off with them included too. So.
Well, there was a reason for them showing up, though. I mean, they were the technicians that were coming in to help with ensure that that there's always a harness for Super Dinosaur.
But I felt like, you know, the issue just starts with you right off the bat, in the issue and stuff like that. So I figured, why do they bother introducing them when everyone else would get thrown into? So like, I felt like they could have already been part of the team at the beginning.
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they could have done that instead. But what I did like just how much the kid has to go through in this because he's looking after himself, he's looking after the dinosaur, and he's looking after his father, who's obviously at least failing mentally a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot for a kid to have to deal with, especially when you're a crime fighter.
Mm-hmm. And it's really colorful.
Yes,
really
it is.
Colorful. Like the colors here. Yeah. And it's not like Invincible, where Kirkman uses a million word balloons on page.
Mm-hmm.
Or Walking Dead, for that matter. It's you can pace through it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But this first issue, was it double-sized? Feels double-sized.
I think it was.
Maybe it's paper.
Well, yeah, there was some good paper quality to this. I think it might have been 32 issues, 32 pages, because there were no ads.
Yeah.
Hold on here. I'm looking to see if it actually says in the front how many pages it is, and it does not. So, yeah. But either way, though, you know, this paper quality for only $2.99.
Incredible.
That's damn good. And that's it's image good for you right there.
Yeah, but yeah, interesting, really good. I'd love to see it as an animated series.
Mm, so would I.
For sure.
Especially after you watch any Thundercats yet?
No.
You should.
I saw the Facebook stuff, like everybody was talking about it, but honestly, I can't get into the anime style, man. I just can't.
It's not, though. It's not anime style.
It looks like it's anime.
Dude, no. It has a little bit of a Japanese influence to it. It's more Avatar.
You sure?
Did you like Avatar the Last Airbender?
I've never watched it.
You watched them both, dude. Okay.
The movie's on Netflix.
Fuck the movie. Fuck. Don't you ever mention that piece of shit again to me, okay?
I'm wondering if I want to watch
I wipe
that.
My ass with that movie. And yet my ass does not feel any cleaner. That's what that movie is to me, all right? No, watch the series. Watch Thundercats. If you're disappointed by Thundercats, I never have to recommend another animated series to you again. Because this is like, if you ever used to watch Thundercats as a kid, this is like a refined version of Thundercats. Like it actually has a story to it, as opposed to, you know, the Bay Bear showing up every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So
I did watch it as a kid.
Well, you will like this. You will definitely
give it a shot.
Dude, Lion-O's father is voiced by Lion-O from the 80s.
Great. Fantastic. I don't know his name. Who gives a shit? Okay. What
it's
do you
good
want
stuff.
To talk about?
It's good stuff.
How Pick
about
a
we,
book.
How about we stay Image? How about we talk about Red Wing?
Red Wing.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Dude, where did Chris Burnham come from?
He's I don't know. I don't know. He's been around. This is the first.
I know, but I didn't know Chris Burnham was on this book. That's what I'm saying.
Really? Because I was going to say I didn't know Frank Quitely was on this book. So.
Both. I mean, Chris Burnham is Frank Quitely.
Well, and I'm just happy that Jonathan Hickman has yet another one of those contracts that allows him to, you know, to be exclusive to Marvel plus anything that's not DC.
Yeah.
Because although how Nick Spencer managed to score an exclusive contract with Marvel that still allows him to do Thunder Agents at DC. It's the only book he's allowed to do at DC. It's Thunder Agents.
Huh.
That's it. So one exception. That's a contract that like, man, you must have had some really, really good negotiating power with that. But no, Red Wing is Hickman's new indie title that he started up. If you like Jonathan Hickman stories, this is definitely a Jonathan Hickman story.
Yes, it is. Can I just say I want my 4 pages back?
Yeah, really?
Yes.
What, with the spreads?
Time is not linear. One page. White. Black text. Next page. There is no paradox. White page. Black text.
The Red Wing.
Turn the page. Double page spread. The red. One page. Black text. White background. Next page. Wing. By Jonathan Hickman. Nick Patara.
Yeah, which
with Michelle Rosenberg. Little symbol there. White page, black text.
And this is after, on the front cover, they introduce the writer
and the artist. And you charged me $3.50 for it.
And the colors. Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. That's fantastic.
At least they didn't have that same helmet issue in the middle, I guess. It was like, dude, you just expanded the cover. Why not make it a wraparound cover and give me some fucking art?
But no, dude, trust me, it's worth it. White on
dude,
black.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, dude.
You read Zero Hour back in the day? Come on.
So basically, this from what I gathered, mm-hmm. and I only read this once,
yeah,
because we're so far behind,
yeah,
and there's so much to read.
This was only like 2 months ago. It's not like you can even be that forgetting this it that much. All right,
this was in my last shipment. So
go ahead.
The one before I got today.
Go ahead.
They're time traveling spaceships
mm-hmm.
that use time travel as a weapon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's as much as I got. There's a pilot. He has daddy issues. His dad sacrificed himself. Kid tries to do the same thing. Ends up in another time at the end of the first issue.
With Quitely face.
And it's quite fucked.
Yeah. That's...
Oh, not to mention the back page.
Mm-hmm.
White page.
Oh.
Black text.
Just one little symbol. Just had to mention that, didn't
you? That's 5 pages I paid $350 for that didn't have anything on them.
Okay, now here's the thing with Red Wing, and
I get it's like kind of like a TV series or a movie where you start off with some action and then you kind of go introduce the book and stuff. I mean, that's awesome. That's great, dude. I think we could have done it on one.
Let me point this out to you, and I'll say it here. Agree or disagree, up to you. If you're gonna pull shit like that, don't give me the single issues. Just put it all together in a hardcover.
Yes, that will work in a hardcover. Sure.
Yeah. Because I like the story. I like the concept here.
Concept was interesting, yes.
Yeah, because I'm a time travel nut. I mean, I love me some good time travel stories. And this looks like a concept that I haven't actually seen play out other than maybe on Star Trek Enterprise. And I haven't watched enough of that to really get the full grasp of their time war that they fought. But this seems to be like a full-out, you know, battle comic, only there's time travel. So I'm in for that, but... I don't think I'm going to pick up issue 2. I think I'm just going to wait for trade at this point.
Yeah, it's only 4 issues. Honestly, if they steal another 5 pages from me the next time and say this again,
mm-hmm.
paradoxes are not linear. There is no time, which is like an opposite of what this one said.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wait for the trade.
And can I also say, hey, at least it's not a DC book because then we would have gotten 2 issues and then issue 1.
Actually, they're going to finish up The Dark Knight. I read number 3 just now.
No.
Or 4. I read 3 and 4.
I don't believe you.
I've ordered 5. It's supposed to come out. The dude they hired to fill in for those, Jay Fabok, is a total, what's his face, Finch clone.
Oh, yeah?
And it's the same inker, so I'm sure they added their Finchiness and stuff too, but goddamn.
Are they coming out weekly or something?
Dave Finch.
Are they coming out? Because, I mean, how the hell are they finishing this before New DCU?
Finch is just, I guess, handed in the scripts or some outlines or something. Someone else picked it up. They handed it over to an artist because he had to get started on his relaunch for the same book.
Hmm. And
with Paul Jenkins writing.
I love how you put that. The relaunch for the same book. That's beautiful.
But I'm sorry. I love Finch. The preview page they have for that relaunch
mm-hmm.
with the boot in the face, similar to like Jim. Well, I guess similar to Jim Lee's. It's just fucking cool. I'm sorry, I like
yeah,
David Finch.
And Paul Jenkins is taking over on the writing.
And yeah, and I've always wanted to see Finch draw Batman. I just can't keep myself away from it.
All right, you do that.
I'm sorry. But back to Red Wing.
Yeah.
Spaceships are really blocky, which is different.
Yeah, no, it actually reminded me a little bit of old school Galactica.
Old school Galactica and like Y-Wings from Star Wars.
Mm, yeah, okay. I could see that. Yeah,
and the shuttles,
mm-hmm.
because they all have the fins and shit.
Yeah, yeah, and I like the you know, their instructor guy, like the whole, like when he explains just how different
this.
Dude,
they're
this
totally
fight
in Mon Calamari's like fucking engine room or
they
whatever.
Are.
There,
they totally are, man.
Just with blue lights rather than white lights, and there's no fish dude going, "It's a trap."
But there should be.
Should be.
I think every single sci-fi story should have a fish dude going, "It's a trap."
It's a trap!
It's a trap! And that fish dude is Admiral Akbar. Akbar,
yes,
that is.
Go watch Star Wars if you don't know.
Yes, it is Admiral Akbar. but no, I like it. I think it has enough of a linear story to keep me going, but I'm going to wait for trade. I might actually wait to see if my library gets it in, because my library seems to really like time travel. Like, there's a lot of a really good time travel stuff in the library, so maybe this will be one of them. But I'm still annoyed that they haven't gotten in volumes like 13, 14, and 15 of 20th Century Boys yet. Come on, people. Come on, Brooklyn Public Library. Do it. Do it.
Come on.
But, yeah, I give it, since we haven't actually been giving grades to any of this, this would be about a 3.5 out of 5 for me. Like, it's good. The art is pretty. It's just not enough to keep me going for issue 2 on a 4-issue mini.
Yes, I will agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, move over to, did you read Young Justice number 1?
Yes, I did.
All right. How'd you like it?
What the fuck?
What?
It's like I love the series. I watched every episode.
Mm-hmm.
It takes off after like Mish Marston shows up.
Yeah.
And they're all like, hey, let's be friends, and I kind of like you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like they already moved past that in the series.
Yeah, now we're first going back to that. And
now we're going back to something. It's like, dude, Art and Franco, I know you guys are funny as hell
mm-hmm.
whenever I hear you on podcasts.
Yeah.
I know Tiny Titans looks funny as hell, and the pages I've read are funny as hell.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that here, obviously, but just give me some standalone stories.
Right.
Because having the Joker show up at the end doesn't seem like Young Justice.
Hmm.
And I really wanted a standalone adventure story.
Well, see, here's my problem with Young Justice in general right now.
Because, you can't give this to a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, you think so?
That's my problem.
You think? Really?
If they've seen the series, sure, but, like, I think you have to have knowledge of the series to enjoy it.
Hmm.
Like, of what happens and, you know, how they formed and stuff like that. Whereas if they were all to in the issue rather than just Superboy and Miss Martian, you know, because as a kid, I see people on the cover.
Right.
And it's like, Kid Flash?
Isn't that what they were hoping for, though? That they would get people to have already read, I mean, not read, but watched the show? I mean, isn't that the whole point of the series?
Yes. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what the point of these books are because they're not in places kids get them.
Yeah. I mean, mind you, I love seeing Mike Norton's art anywhere that I can get it. So it was nice to see it here for Young Justice. I would just rather see Mike on a main DC title.
Yeah, and put an inker on him and let Mike do his like gravity style stuff. I'm tired of seeing the simplicity stuff. I mean, I'm glad he can pound out pages and stuff in this style, and he's a quality artist, but I just know he can do better and he has a different style. Because when he was on Green Arrow, Black Canary, that was even good. And then when they put fucking Sienkiewicz on top of him.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
My God, yeah. Yeah.
And then you know, he gets that title falls apart, and then he gets relegated to Young Justice.
And his Atom stuff,
it's
too.
It's like, I thought we graduated. Yeah, exactly. I thought he graduated from this kiddie shit a while ago, and now they put him back on it.
But that's because he likes doing kiddie shit. More power to him if this is what he wants to do.
As long as he's happy to him doing this stuff, I just hope that, you know, he's getting paid better than other people doing kiddie shit are.
Oh, Norton's got
some... I'm just guessing. I know he probably has an exclusive and stuff.
Well, he doesn't have an exclusive anymore because he was doing stuff over... He's back with McKeever over in Marvel.
Okay.
Because he was doing, I think, Fear Itself, Young...
Young Allies.
Yeah, Young Allies. Yeah.
Okay, maybe that's more detailed. I don't know. I just...
From what I've seen, yes, because it's the first time he's done Gravity since he was on the series.
Right. Okay.
So that made me happy. I mean, I'm waiting for trade on that just to pick it up, but I cannot wait to see him draw Gravity again.
And I know part of it is like, you know, as an animated series book, you have to ape the style of the animated series, but come on, they could have gotten someone else other than Norton to do it.
Yeah, they probably could have.
And given him a better job, a better book to be on, honestly. Yeah.
Dude, I agree. I mean, the
new Superboy book, whatever, I don't know who's doing it now, but I think he would have been good for that.
Don't get me started, please.
Because that looks like a total clusterfuck on art on those covers.
Or how about giving him Mr. Terrific, since Mr. Terrific is, it's now been announced that it's the third art team in 3 issues.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you look at the solicits, issue 1 had one artist, issue 2 had just another artist, issue 3 has a third. That's not good.
Apparently, Rags Morales can't keep up with Action Comics.
Apparently. Yeah, I mean
come on, Rags, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know.
You do Identity Crisis. It's your coming out party. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. Everybody respects you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what you did after that.
JSA. Well, sorry, he did the JLA arc.
No, he only did covers.
Really? He didn't do that actual arc?
Yeah.
Oh,
read that again. Huh. It's only the covers.
Okay.
The next thing he did, Hawkman for a little bit, I think. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, dude. And he did Nightwing.
Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome on.
Yeah.
Nightwing, he was awesome on. Then he goes and does the Golden Age pulp character crap.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come out for months.
Yeah.
And now you're on Action Comics. And on this third issue solicits, you have someone else helping you out.
Well, it's the guy from Astro City, so it's not like it's gonna be bad art. But
I'm
still.
Not saying that. I'm saying though, this is like, you know, this whole DC relaunch is career defining moments for everybody that's on these books,
mm-hmm.
especially Action Comics number one. That's the granddaddy of a motherfucking all.
Yeah,
with Grant fucking Morrison, you know, the craziest motherfucker ever.
I haven't read Super Gods, as you can tell, but by how many curses you just put into one sentence.
I watched his thing on Hulu. Oh my goodness, that guy, crazy. Insane in the membrane, you know.
I mean, I interviewed the dudes back at C2E2, and the way that they were describing it was like, "Yeah, this man's a mad genius." I'm like, "Yeah, you ain't kidding."
Well, I believe it.
Yeah.
Mad genius, you know, and talking like Scotsman, and you know, just turns in quality. He turns in quality stuff.
It'll be great.
And you're an artist on Action Comics number one. It's a career defining moment, and you fumble the ball. Well, you've had nothing to do for months but work on the book and. I'm sorry.
J.G. Jones. It's J.G. Jones syndrome all over again.
It's perfectionist, I think. And at certain times, you need to have the editor. See, I think they should have pulled these guys all into the office and be like, you know, for 6 months, you're going to live here in D.C. This is my Dan DiDio impersonation.
Hey,
6 months, you're going to live here in New York City. And you know, you're going to live here, you're going to work here, you're going to crank out 6 issues, and when we tell you a page is done, a page is done, and you move on to the next page, you turn it in, done.
You need more Yogi Bear in your Dan DiDio.
I'm sorry, I'm not John Suntra.
Hey, Dan DiDio, next question, okay.
Exactly, okay, yeah, okay.
Hey, boo-boo, hey, boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo.
That better, but that doesn't sound like Dan DiDio. Anyway, they should have, like, pulled him in cross-gen style, old-school style,
mm-hmm.
put him in a room. Where everybody, you know, a warehouse even. Do it, like, down by the docks. Real skeevy, Law & Order, SVU type shit. Have Christopher Maroney come in and yell at him. And, you know, parade Mariska Hargitay around once in a while to get their, you know, spirits up and stuff like that. But otherwise, smell like fish and just, you know, fucking miserable. So they're pouring it out all on the page and just for 6 months. And then with the stuff we get is fucking miraculous, you know. That's what I would have done.
Don't just make like, me go on my why is Jamal Engel not on a Superman title book again.
So I mean, since this is just a clusterfuck of an episode, let's
yeah. But you know what? some of the fans, dude. Some of the fans' favorite episodes are our clusterfuck episodes where we just, you know, shoot the shit. So that's pretty much what this
but
one is.
Like, to me, like I've just reread Identity Crisis number one.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably the main thing. Like, I just finished rereading it like last night, and then I read stuff today and the preview or yesterday, and like the third issue is like him and some other dude, and apparently the second issue is totally some other dude who I don't know, and it's just like, oh man. I mean, I'm glad DC is gonna put these things out on time because the digital stuff, that's respectable, you know, and hopefully kicks people in the ass. Just
maybe
to be like, you
maybe.
Know what, get your shit together.
Yeah. Well.
But it's just disappointing that, you know, we've seen all these preview pages and stuff, and the first issue is going to be amazing, and then we're going to get the second and third and be like, ugh, I don't really want to read this anymore.
But I don't think that's going to be the case with Action Comics, at least, because the art looks like it's going to be somewhat consistent, even with Rags not there. Because
I don't know who the second dude is. So
again, he's from Astro City. Everything I've seen from Astro City has been amazing.
All right, take your word for it.
That's all I need to know is like I saw the words artist of Astro City and I was okay. Because Busiek doesn't work with slouches. That's all you gotta know. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Let me go grab something to drink. All right.
All right.
So. This is the editing point where Brent better edit. For those keeping track at home, Ian is now drinking a Sam Adams Blackberry Whitbeer.
Is that like heavily blackberry flavored?
Well, according to Chris, she couldn't taste any beer at all in it. So yeah, I guess it is kind of heavy on the blackberry, but I don't know. To me, it's not like entirely blackberry.
Because if you ever buy Wild Blue, that's total fucking blueberry.
Mm.
Like heavy blueberry, like almost like, ugh.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like Purple Haze. You ever have that?
Yeah, but that's very light.
Really? Because that tasted really, really heavy on it to me. Maybe it was just a batch I had.
I don't know. Click on that link I sent you.
Yeah, let me check it out.
I don't recall Hawkgirl's boobs ever being that big.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
I mean, they're like, I thought Hawkgirl was like a slender gal, but apparently, you know, according to Adam Hughes.
Yeah, well.
Fucking A.
Well, that's because every
fucking Kardashian.
Well, that's because everybody Adam Hughes draws, whether it's a man or a woman, has Hughes tits.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, man. So, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Comics.
Well, since we're talking about Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Kirby Genesis.
All right.
Alex
why
Ross.
Not?
So, Ian, did you read this?
Yeah, I read it. Well, Kirby Genesis. It's definitely a Kirby book, or they're working on Kirby characters at least. And all right, here's where I need to make a confession to
Kirby
all
characters you've never heard of.
Yeah, exactly. Here's
unless
my confession
you're
to you.
Maybe the guys on the comic book page or Vince B.
Well,
because those are the guys that I know that like that type of
stuff.
Well,
because most of these Kirby characters have either never appeared in a comic before or have only appeared like once. And now Busiek and Ross are trying to make a universe out of it. And I'm not exactly a big fan of that. You know, like, I'm kind of okay with letting sleeping characters lie, especially if they were ones that were never actually brought to the page by the original creator.
It's like Kirby was God.
Yeah.
So everything he touched must have been awesome.
So there I was with Kirby's wife, and suddenly an idea came to me to do these characters, and I'm like, this is a great idea. And Kirby's like, what are you talking about, Stan? I said, shut up and make me my dinner.
So here's pretty much the story. You have these two college kids.
Yeah.
And one of them is Jay Baruchel.
Mm-hmm.
Is he not?
No, his name is Kirby.
Open up the second
page.
Yeah,
I know. He looks exactly like him. Especially
and
like,
if you don't know who I'm talking about, that's the guy from...
Sorcerer's Apprentice and
Sorcerer's Apprentice, yeah, he's the goofy guy.
Tropic Thunder,
you don't stand a chance or whatever. The girl,
mm-hmm.
What's her face?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
It's like a rom-com that was really funny, surprisingly.
Yeah. Tropic Thunder, he was the intern,
right?
Yeah,
it's Jay Baruchel, but his name is Kirby. Like that's his first name.
Yeah,
Kirby.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are named Kirby.
Lame. That's like some friend of my wife's name is going to name her son Crosby.
Really?
Which is a dumb fucking name, but it doesn't surprise me because they're all, her and her husband or boyfriend or whatever the hell he is, they're all hippies and whatever, so.
Well,
whatever.
I mean.
Good luck to the kid.
Well, okay, and immediately I just think, what, after the character from Parenthood?
I don't know. Bing Crosby?
Or Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young?
That's what I'm thinking.
It probably is that. Yeah.
But, fucking
I mean, the
anyway.
Art's pretty in this. I'll give him
the
that.
Art is amazing.
Yeah.
What's this guy's name? Jack Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody steal him away from this book. He's way too good to be on Dynamite. Did
oh,
I just say that out loud?
What the
sorry.
Fuck are you talking
sorry.
About, man? Do you read The Boys?
No.
What?
I did. And then it lost me somewhere.
Oh, dude.
But I was downloading them illegally, so I'm doing what's-his-face, Derek Robertson, a favor by not stealing money out of his pocket.
You have disappointed me greatly with those words you just spoke.
Do man. You want me to start stealing? Is that what you're saying? Derek Robertson, are you hearing this? Derek Robertson doesn't sound like a guy you want to fuck with, so...
No, he doesn't. No. But, well, he hasn't even been the artist on the past couple of issues.
Really? What's
yeah.
he doing?
He's been doing... he was working on one of the miniseries for The Boys.
Oh, the Butcher Baker
yeah.
candlestick maker.
That's the one, yeah. So he's been working on that, and someone
why
else took
away
over
from
on
the
our
main
choice.
Series. What?
It was Dynamite's decision. It wasn't his.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. No,
it's
no, I'm serious.
It's your own book, is it
yeah.
not?
Well, he's
is it
he's
your own book or not?
It is his own book, but Dynamite still owns it, so they can still decide what to do with it.
Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah, dude. I mean, they were lucky that they had a publisher. Period. After Wildstorm said bye bye.
I know.
Yeah.
And, I believe it. I remember
Wildstorm.
Yeah. So it's Jack Herbert doing the art, and then whenever the Kirby characters show up, or some of them anyway, Alex Ross fucking steps in and is like, "Dude, I'm a total better artist than you." Booyah, bitch! And puts his paints down, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
But it's all this like crazy, colory Jack Kirby shit. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't really know what to make of it.
It doesn't really work too well with the flow of the issue. That was one of my problems with it.
I mean, you got these weird shiny gods that are on the cover.
Yeah.
And those are the Alex Ross paintings. So they're like Alex Ross paintings come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of awkward.
Oh, here's another problem. The chick in the last couple of pages. Hi, Barda. How are you?
Yeah. and then you have like the Eternals show up.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the Japanese guy from X-Men?
Sunfire.
He shows up.
Yeah.
In like his older or newer costume.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Eternals and Deviants show up in the issue.
Pretty much.
Does he not? Doesn't that guy look like an Eternal, and the other guys look like Deviants?
Yeah, and I mean, look at the cover for Kirby Genesis number 2. If that isn't Thor, just shoot me dead right here.
Yeah, Kirby created characters, Big Barda. What the fuck? And who's this guy? Tiger 20 to Bridge.
Yeah.
The guy at the end.
Yeah, no, I see. Yeah. I mean, it's... Okay, for historians, for comic book historians, who, or even people that just want to know more about Kirby's characters, go pick up a Kirby omnibus. Really, I mean, just go ahead and do that. You don't need this. I mean, this is not slighting Kurt Busiek at all. I'm
go
still
get something
a huge
with
fan.
Kirby art.
Yeah, yeah. No, dude, totally. Like, I'm much more a fan of letting the original creations stand as they were than trying to bring them back like this. Because, I mean, you know, you can't do Miracle Man more than once. You know, I mean, Marvel Man / Miracle Man, that was pretty much a one-time thing. It hasn't really been done since. I mean, unless you count the Charlton characters coming back in DC. But it doesn't really work that well most of the time, because... Think of how many Charlton characters are actually around on a regular basis in DC in their original forms. I mean, Captain Atom's coming back as basically Dr. Manhattan from the looks of things in new DCU. Blue Beetle is Jaime, so the original Blue Beetle is long gone. But these are characters, but they're newer versions of characters. This is basically trying to recreate characters that barely even existed to begin with.
I read the third solicit for Blue Beetle,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like they're starting fucking over. No!
From the beginning? Really?
Yes, it's like newly armored hero, Jaime Reyes. And it's like, he's had that armor for 36 issues. What are you talking about?
God damn it.
It was just fine. You could have said, just continue. He's in the armor. He has a family. Big deal. Whatever.
So now you got to reintroduce all the characters. And, man...
That's just what the third issue said.
You bummered
me. It could still be like new hero. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that's.
I hope I'm wrong.
We reacted the same way about Tim Drake, and apparently all of his Robin stuff happened.
Oh yeah, it's an intern program.
That's just a stupid way of putting it,
Batman pages.
I'm not going to continue with this Kirby Genesis thing. If you liked it, please continue to like it. I'm not saying don't. The art is still as pretty as it was. And even the story is not that bad. It's just I have no investment in the characters, and I don't think I'm going to.
I don't either. If you liked Project Superpowers, which I didn't read, you might like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because same creative team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even though Alex Ross will probably not draw much of anything.
No, probably not. See, what I wonder, though, is like, why did they pick Jack Herbert? And then have Alex Ross come in and do some characters, and then the other ones are still Jack Herbert. Like, I would have thought you would have picked, like, some Jack Kirby lookalike to come in and do the Kirby characters. Like, well, bam, here. It's like, you know, sticking in, what's his face? Like, Ryan Ottley on a Rob Liefeld page.
Hmm.
Like, in Image United, which will never finish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, just something totally different. That would have been interesting to me, rather than if it's just two really similar styles.
Right.
Styles, because they're both realistic.
Or just have Alex Ross paint over the actual pencils, so that you don't have this sudden change in style where it's an Alex Ross painted dude right next to a regular penciled guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure Alex could have taken
only
the time.
Doing those two god characters on the front, because everybody else looked like a Jack Herbert drawing.
Yeah, yeah. And like we mentioned, we'd be perfectly okay with just Jack Herbert doing the whole damn thing. I'm cool with
if
that.
If we liked it and wanted to read more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But so meanwhile, I look forward to Jack Herbert drawing Thor. All right, moving on to something else. Let's stay indie. Let's do Garth Ennis as Jennifer Blood.
All right.
Okay. You've been waiting for this.
Dude, when I read this, like, this is... I was like, dude, Ian picked a good book, finally. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
So it's Garth Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
The artist is Adriano Batista.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
It is not the Tim Bradstreet on the cover. I'm sorry.
Yes. As usual, the cover artist is not who's inside.
Yes, but I dug the art.
Okay.
I liked it.
That's good.
It's like Derek Robertson meets mainstream DC.
I can go with that.
And the scratchy Derek Robertson feel, light on the inks, heavy on the sketchiness, but realistic and detailed enough that, you know, it's cool. It's not too much of a stretch.
So like Derek Robertson Transmet era?
I didn't read that yet, so...
You still haven't read Transmet? What's wrong with you?
Dude, I just picked up the last two volumes of 100 Bullets, and I haven't read those yet.
I haven't read 100 Bullets, so we win. Okay, moving on. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, it's like this nice housewife mom, mm-hmm. and she's like total hot bitchin' mother.
Okay.
Double, you know, nice rack,
giggity.
Short hair,
mm-hmm.
House mom by day, killer assassin by night.
Yep.
So she puts on this skin-tight black leather, similar to The Matrix. It's like Trinity at night and House Mom in the day.
Okay.
It's pretty much the thing.
Right.
Trinity meets Punisher meets Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in the first issue, was really not cool because as a housewife, she has to go get her car fixed, and there's like some sleazy businessman, and he's like making moves on the housewife, and then for some reason, the sleazy business guy has a hot... assistant, which I thought was weird. Like, why is she working in this junkyard? But anyway, like any other comics female, she's got double D's too and is hot, so he's hitting on her.
But of course.
But the housewife doesn't like this, so she goes and blows the guy to bits. Like, later... No. She goes and blows up some gangsters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who are making a shipment. And the reason they call her Jennifer Blood is because she takes the blood of her victims after she blows them all to pieces... And cuts them to ribbons and, you know, all this stuff.
Nice.
And then paints Jennifer Blood in their blood somewhere on the crime scene.
Oh, I love it.
So anyway, yeah, she goes back to this mechanic guy, the real sleazy, and basically crushes his hand with a monkey wrench.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't touch no mo.
Okay.
And then she gets back to her house, showers... In a pretty graphic shower scene, like, I didn't really need to see the shadow of the nipple if you're not going to show it at all.
Sure.
You know? And then goes back. Her husband wakes up as she crawls into bed and wants to have sex in the middle of the night. And she just kind of lays there because it's not as exciting as killing people and cutting them to ribbons.
It's very Married with Children, only with guns.
It's funny. I really liked it. I'm hoping I can find some... later issues or a trade or something that's down the line.
I'm looking for the trade for this because I read it, I enjoyed it. I just with my current economic status, and I mean this was even back then. Like I can't really justify picking up too many new series, and this was one that I really 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 wanted to pick up, but just decided not to because I already had my one ongoing Ennis story in The Boys, and I figure I could just eventually pick this up and trade in one form or another.
But yeah, it was really fun. I liked it.
Because it's what, up to, I think it's up to issue 8 at this point, or at least issue 8's been solicited.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
We're way behind.
this first issue came out in February, apparently. And we're first getting to it now. That's just sad.
Hey, we're not apologizing.
We're not apologizing.
We're not sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Kathy Griffin on Conan last night. Not apologizing. Not apologizing. Not apologizing.
But yeah, no, I would definitely track these down in dollar bins if I can. In fact, I might even just do that just to get caught up in it because Dynamite titles seem to wind up in dollar bins more often than not.
Because they have no resale value, I think.
Yeah, that's sad. What's it gonna take to get you into New York for New York Comic Con?
Money.
Okay. Get money.
I'm paying off some bills at the end of December, like, you know, some major debts and stuff will be paid off.
Okay.
A couple things. And then from there on out, it's like I'm saving, I'll be saving like $600-800 a month, depending on how much fun we have in a month.
All right.
Going out and stuff. So that should be pretty easy for like maybe down the road next year.
Okay.
To do that.
All right.
Because I want to go to New York for that, and Manny wants to go to New York again regardless. So.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Hoping to make that happen.
You could have a tour guide. Yep, Raph.
Oh, no. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
I kid. Nah, we'll take you to all the good places, all the non-touristy shit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I still want to see the touristy shit because I've never been there.
Well, we can get in a little bit of both. We'll get in a little bit of both. Like... Well, the best part is since I'm in Brooklyn, you get to ride the Manhattan Bridge and see the skyline and everything when you're rolling back in. So that's good stuff. But yeah, no, Jennifer Blood is definitely worth picking up if you haven't. And actually, it's not Garth Ennis. I'm looking at issue 8, and it's written by somebody named Al Ewing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just first trade for me, maybe.
Well, because now I got to roll back here and see when he stopped it. He might have stopped on issue 6, because I think he might have just done the first arc, and after that, it's, you know, just Garth Ennis's Jennifer Blood. But, yeah, see, issue 6 is by him.
Okay.
So I think he just did the first 6 issues.
Okay. Well, let's keep on the indie and good books that Ian picked,
okay,
and let's do Doc Macabre.
All right. There you go. Sure.
Did you read Doc Macabre?
Sadly, it is not on my pile yet.
Oh, dude, it was so good.
Yeah.
And this is another one. When I read it, I was like, oh, my God, Ian picked a great book.
And yet, I haven't actually read it myself. What the fuck is my
pile? I know. What the...
Yeah.
This is really weird.
It's because I got a really large-ass pile sitting here that still needs to be read.
I'm not saying that. I guess it's just weird that you haven't, like, read the books that I liked.
I know.
Well, you did Jennifer Blood. Yeah. No, you said you skimmed it.
Yeah. No, I did actually, like, as I'm thinking back on it, I remembered more and more of it. So I did actually read it. But
okay,
this one I haven't touched.
Cobb.
Yeah.
Written by Steve Niles. Mm-hmm. Art by Bernie Wrightson, the legendary Bernie Wrightson.
But the force.
Whom I've actually never read before.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
So it was interesting. It was good. Mm-hmm. Good art. Mm-hmm. I could see why people like him.
Yep.
Really macabre dude.
Straight up.
So basically, this is like Ghostbusters meets Doogie Howser.
Okay.
This guy is a Doc Macabre is a teenager who's a genius because he builds gadgets and shit, and busts up all sorts of supernatural terror. Starts out with zombies. He built his own robot.
Nice.
He talks to this old couple and goes to their haunted house. And fights a naked ghost wearing a Ghostbuster pack. And something goes wrong, and that's where the issue ends.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
But it hooked me. It hooked me.
All right. Well, that's good.
To where I was like, wow, that was really good.
What's the art style?
Bernie Wrightson.
Well, I'm saying.
It means,
I mean, I know Wrightson, but Wrightson has multiple styles, so.
It's not like scratchy everywhere Wrightson. Mm. There's space in between to like leave room for the colors and stuff, and some of the backgrounds are kind of simplistic when he's like in his house, which actually is interesting. It's like a big warehouse, right? Where he has his gadgets. It's like Reed Richards would love this place,
right?
Gadgets everywhere,
mm-hmm.
but he builds onto the front a little like house, like he builds a house with the like roofs and windows and stuff like onto the front of the warehouse and connects it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go inside and it's just all big space and he has walls up to like 8 feet and then you look up and then you can see like the rest of the warehouse and all the crazy gadgets and scary shit.
Okay.
Well, almost like a movie set.
That's pretty cool.
So it's interesting little lair he's got there.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
So it was cool.
Yeah. That works. Well, once I find it in my pile, it'll be red. God, I'm sad like that. But... I mean, like, mind you, I actually tried to find it, like, before we went to record tonight, just so I could have read it by then, but it has eluded me, so it's either in my indie pile already, or it's just somewhere in my pile of shit that has yet to be filed. So.
Yep.
Yep.
So you want to keep on the zombie run?
and
talk about zombie. I didn't read it.
Well, neither did I, so.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Moving on.
Well, okay. Popping it open right now. Looking through it.
Where's your Irving on Art?
Okay.
Which you can't go wrong with. Well, John Rosen, I've never heard of him.
Well, okay. Frazier Irving, I'm hot and cold on, to be honest.
Really?
Because sometimes he's a little too Daniel Acuna for me.
No, I would much rather read Frazier Irving than Daniel Acuna. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Put my fucking eyes out.
Well, I just flipped through it and it looked good. So hey, it looks amazing on a flip through. How about that?
Frazier Irving looks better on this than, like, I mean, I liked his Batman and Robin stuff, but I'd much rather see him on, like, this type of shit. Mm-hmm. Like, remember him on Days Missing that we read?
Yes. Yes, I remember.
Actually, this is like the third Frazier Irving book we've read.
Yeah, man, we're pretty high up on the Frazier Irving pile, I guess.
He turns in good work.
He does. He does.
Crazy creepy.
Yeah. Well, it's to be read. God, I hate saying that over and over again. Well,
there you go.
I did read what was originally Utopian number one, which then became Halcyon number one.
Oh, I did read that too. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because I see that on your list here, so I just wanted to mention that quickly. That's a Mark Guggenheim story that, again, was originally going to be called Utopian, but there was, a conflict on using that name because it had been used before, and they wound up going with Halcyon instead. And it's all about a world where heroes are suddenly no longer needed because crime has just stopped. Like, the amount of crimes being committed on a regular basis have just gone down and down and down. And the heroes of this world are definitely Justice League allegories more than the Avengers allegories. But they gather together and they're like, okay, so what now? Because they have no idea. And while they're all gathered together, the major villain of this planet, which I guess is sort of like a, what would you say, like a Doctor Doom type more than anything?
Sure.
Yeah, he just gives himself up, turns himself into the authorities, and that's how the issue ended, which was a little bit of a surprise because you didn't expect that out of a guy who before this was the world's greatest villain. So now you're wondering whether or not this is a natural decline in crime or whether or not this is being controlled by an outside force. I'm sure that in later issues we get more of a story on that, but I only picked up the first issue of Halcyon, so that's another one that will wind up in trade eventually. But I enjoyed it a lot. The art was good, the story was crisp, and I'm genuinely a fan of Guggenheim. I liked the Spider-Man stuff, and this is the first real indie stuff that I've read out of Guggenheim. But if it's more like this, then I'm probably gonna pick up more of his stuff than not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I liked it. It's
yeah,
cool.
Good. Hey, I'm on a good track record right here.
You are this month.
Okay, good. That means
for
I need
last
to, I need
five
to,
months.
That means I need to pick some stinkers now just to make up for it.
You do. You need to pick the cape again.
Fuck
or
you.
Or caped, whatever it was.
Caped. God, that was crap. Holy shit, that was a turd. So I can't talk Infinite Vacation because I haven't gotten it yet. Because DCBS still hasn't sent it to me. I'd love to talk Infinite Vacation, but I can't. So this is not because I didn't choose to read it, because I have issue 2, and I have issue 3. I just haven't actually been shipped issue 1. So, sorry, guys. But what you think about it, since you didn't get the autograph copy.
Do you want me to read number 1 to you, so you can go ahead and read 2 and 3?
I think I'm good. If necessary, I'll download it.
So basically, when you upgrade to your smartphone or on your iPod Touch, but only when you're connected to Wi-Fi, apparently, you have an app like you, Ian Levenstein. Meanwhile,
yes.
I have an Android phone, so I would have an app and be able to use it anytime, but you have to go to Wi-Fi connection to jump personalities or vacations or whatever. So anyway,
I can download it onto my computer and then put it on my iPod Touch. But you didn't hear that.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Okay.
I didn't mean the comic. I'm talking like the story of the
comic.
Oh,
the story.
There is an app.
Oh, okay.
And in the app, you can change into like different multiple multiverse versions of yourself.
Ooh.
but it costs money.
Okay.
Okay. So in this app, it says, like, you know, Universe X, Ian Levenstein, mm-hmm. is getting a blowjob on an airplane. Would you like to go there now? $4,000.
Holy shit.
You're like, fuck yeah. Wait, what's a girl look like? Hold on. Right? That's the first thing.
Man.
And it's like, the second thing is Ian Levenstein is stopping a robbery. Cost $25,000 if you want to be a hero. And you're like, okay, I could swing that. You know, I might get a reward and be able to take it back with me. You know, and then this other Ian Levenstein's being sworn in as president. Awesome.
Sure.
You know, and then this other Ian Levenstein is being gang raped by a heavily large obese woman.
Yeah.
And being beaten up by a fat black man in between prison bars.
Bad touch.
For child molestation. So you could be those guys too. Or you could be in front of a firing squad just to see how it felt like, you know?
Sure.
So basically, it's like you are being put into all these random situations, except they're not random. They exist in these other universes.
All right.
So at any point in time, this guy is jumping in between universes into different versions of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the art's really cool. Actually, I really like the art. Mm-hmm. Christian Ward, the first couple pages. And then it switches to, like, Fumigeti, I think is the term.
Okay.
Where it's like photographs as comics, like the Mark Miller tried to do with 1982 originally.
Interesting.
For two pages. Huh. Where this guy is actually explaining the app to you.
Oh, all right.
So
That's actually pretty cool.
Kind of like a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if that's Nick Spencer or Christian Ward or the editor. Hmm. Or some family friend. Who knows?
Well, anyway. Nick Spencer... Nick Spencer is sort of a hipster-looking dude. So, was he hipster-looking?
No.
Okay.
So, anyway, you can go through all these different things, and for the next couple pages, it's like, wow, I really don't know what to do in my life. Why do you think you're dying? He's dying for someone? I haven't read this in months.
Mm.
So, he's seeing therapy. And then, so basically, he sees this girl.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk to her, but he doesn't talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, then he's like, crap, I should have talked to her. So then he pulls up his app, and it's like, where can I find the me that did talk to her?
Mm.
So it's like all these little variations of stuff.
Okay.
And then he jumps into that person, and then maybe he doesn't. Oh, she comes back because she sees that he's looking at his app. She's like, why didn't you just come after me and rather than jump into the person that did talk to her?
Right.
So it's kind of awkward. So he wants to find this person. And then another version of him shows up at the end, and I'm sure that's where issue two picks up.
Ooh. Okay. So that basically the app doesn't work nearly as well as it should.
I guess not, because this dude is punk rock looking.
Okay. Well then, I can't wait to eventually get issue one.
Totally psychedelic.
Okay.
I dig it.
I would probably dig it too if I had it.
Cool.
I'm going to have to, you know, at this point, I'm just going to contact DCBS and say, I don't need an autograph that badly. I've been waiting for this for 4 months. Please. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Let's touch on Shazam number one quickly, because I don't think we did that one. We did do Wolverine number one in a previous episode, because I just looked that up, so we don't have to do that one.
Try to rack my brain and open this up.
Shazam number one, that was some pretty damn good Shazam, and it annoys me that it was only a one shot. Because it felt like, I don't know, it felt like to me there should have been more to this than just the one. You know? Like,
and it's Freddie Freeman, not Billy Batson.
Yes, it is. Yeah, because Billy is still...
So don't get your panties in a bunch.
Billy is still powerless at this point, as is Mary. So both Mary and Billy are powerless in this.
Okay.
They are in the issue, though. So there is that.
He fights Blaze, whoever that is.
Mm-hmm. And
has something to do with Osiris, and then it turns into the crappy Titan series. So
yeah.
Just read the one shot.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice art. Cliff Richards quickly becoming one of my favorite fill-in artists.
Yeah. And I say again, it was a Freddy issue. I wanted more Freddy. Instead, we got crappy Titans. What the fuck?
Just at the end, it just says continued in Titans.
Yes, I know. Why? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, even Mary was good in this. I mean, and Mary annoys the crap out of me usually.
You know what? I think we should just go like we talked on Raging Bullets and just give us Captain Thunder.
Okay.
A Captain Planet, Captain Marvel called something different.
Mm-hmm.
so we don't have to change the title of his book.
Yeah. We won't really talk
to you. Just call him Shazam like you did in Trials of Shazam.
I know.
Like that, hello, that made sense to me.
We won't really
everybody's
talk.
Everybody's like, no, oh my God, no. It's a failed character from 1940 something that no one gives a shit about. You can't change the name. Oh my God.
Oh no. We won't talk much Fear. Sorry, not Fear itself, but Flashpoint in this episode because we did talk it on Raging Bullets, so you could just, you know, pull that up and hear our comments on it because we were a lot more in depth there than we probably will be here because we did
were
talk.
Awesome on that
yes,
episode.
We were amazing on both Kid Flash and Flashpoint up until that point. We did talk Batman and Robin as well, even though that's not one of our picks here. But I did finally read the last issue of that arc, and that was satisfying. I liked it a lot.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I felt like Sean liked it more than I did. You know, but I just want to do.
But that's that's usually the case, though, isn't
that's,
it?
That's him. Okay, what about FF number one?
All right, man. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, man, I love this series. FF is, you know, I don't actually think there's been a Jonathan Hickman series I haven't liked so far.
See, I picked that up, and then I was like, okay, that's interesting. Dr. Doom's back. That's cool. He's part of the team now. Spider-Man's just kind of there. Interesting. And I've read the Amazing Spider-Man issues where he's, like, part of FF, and it's had that little side arc there. And I enjoyed those. I don't know. I don't know if I like Hickman.
Really?
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Gasp. But, dude, you've been reading Secret Warriors for, like, 28 issues.
I know. I read all of Secret Warriors, which was good.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, standard super, you know, espionage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I like S.H.I.E.L.D. That's different. It's cool.
Were you reading as Fantastic Four before this?
Yeah. I read the Eagle Sham stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I jumped off a few months before they had the countdown arc to when Human Torch died.
Yeah.
Like, it just got to a point where they're like, we're going to have this war of three worlds. And they visited all three worlds and nothing happened in those issues.
Right.
And the first arc was cool with all the different reads and stuff. That was awesome. That was balls to the wall shit.
Right.
But, dude, he just lost me after that.
Well, that's what I've been liking about FF so far is that they've been picking up on the threads from the different reads. Over the last couple of issues specifically. I haven't read the
I read FF 1, 2, and 3, but I think that's as far as I got.
Well, because 4 and 5 also...
Because I was like, how is Nathaniel Richards here and where is Hyperstorm? Or why is he not missing an eye?
Hyperstorm. Oh my God, man. I have not thought of Hyperstorm.
Dude, that was like the issue where he comes back or something is like one of the first comics I had read ever.
My favorite thing about him is that, yeah, Hyperstorm. Get it? Storm. Because their last name is Storm. It's funny because their last name is Storm.
Wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but he was still related.
That was when like Reed was like dead or Dr. Doom or something. And then they had the Scott Lang Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And
Elijah.
Who else? Elijah was in there, and they had the Doombot dude, Christoph. Yeah,
Christoph is in FF. And Christoph
like,
is
what the fuck?
No, dude. Well, like I said,
yeah, I did. I read as far as when they went to go to see Christoph.
Okay, yeah.
And at that point, I was confused. Like, you're not even explaining who this character is to me. I barely remember him. He's fucked up. Why? And it was like, I'm Jonathan Hickman. I don't have to explain shit to you.
Because he has, you know, the brain patterns of Dr. Doom.
I got that. I got that. But it's like, I need a recap or something. Just, you know, have the little girl spout something off that I can grasp on.
That would have been nice.
Like, that seems
to
be her job, is to explain shit that the reader has no clue what's about.
But what I also like about FF, I haven't read 6 and 7 yet, so I can't comment on those. I don't even think I've read... Did I read 5? I did read 5. But... At the end of 5 and then 6 and 7, they touch on some threads involved with Marvel Cosmic that hadn't been resolved that are in here for the hell of it, I guess. But considering that I read Marvel Cosmic, I'm glad to see that the whole Black Bolt situation is being dealt with in one form or another.
See, like, I thought maybe this is with FF for me because I picked up FF... Mm-hmm. With 543, is like the tail end of the JMS stuff, is during Civil War. I read it all the way through.
McDuffie's run and everything?
McDuffie. I read McDuffie's run. I read the Hitch run. Yeah. So I read it all the way through when Hickman jumped on.
Yeah.
Like in his first maybe 5-6 issues, mm-hmm. 8 maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and I dig it, but like it seems to FF to me. It's like they have all these cool characters, and he had the Wizard in there really quickly, and but it always goes back to Doctor Doom. Like even the Miller Hitch stuff seemed like really different and off the wall, and I was really digging that. And then it goes back to Doctor Doom and the future stuff. And yeah. I mean,
see, you dropped, I know that's kind of Mark Miller too soon because the Wizard's back, and that entire group of villains is back as a think tank for Reed and the rest of the Future Foundation. So, like, you literally dropped like it one issue too early.
It just felt like for me the Hickman stuff. It wasn't. I don't know. It's too cerebral. Yeah, I wasn't grabbing me. It was too cerebral.
All right.
And I don't know if it's an FF thing because it always seems like they have to go back to Doctor Doom every 12 issues mm-hmm. rather than, like, you know, go on some weird adventure or – I mean, that's what McDuffie did. He sent him off somewhere else.
Did you read S.H.I.E.L.D.? I forget.
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Did you enjoy that?
S.H.I.E.L.D. I have enjoyed it.
Okay. All right, so you
as
don't entirely.
As clusterfucky as it is, I haven't reread it, but I'm still like, you know, this is cool. Mm-hmm. Dustin Weaver's off the chain.
Yeah.
Yo, yo, what, what?
what, what?
I'm really gangster tonight. I don't know.
I don't know, yo. Well. You apparently, you know the people that live in my building.
I guess I really liquored up tonight.
That's got to be it.
Maybe that's it. I'm loosey goosey.
All right.
I don't know. It's something about FF just like doesn't do it for me.
Well, I mean, you're allowed, and it doesn't mean that you don't like Hickman because you just said you like Secret Warriors and you like S.H.I.E.L.D. and you said you like Red Wing pretty much.
Yeah. So I just don't like his FF. I don't know.
You're allowed. You're very allowed. I mean, as 11 o'clock comics stated, you're totally allowed.
Totally allowed. Half of them don't like it. That's right.
They freaking hate that book with a passion. And I mean, that's because they're Fantastic Four traditionalists, and I'm a FF fan. But I started reading FF like, back when Reed and Doc Doom were dead. So I could care less about changes, you know.
And I read all the Wade Waringo stuff, and that was awesome.
That was amazing. That was cool. Yeah.
But they were doing like different stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like FF. We're calling it FF because not the Fantastic Four anymore. Johnny's dead. It's the Future Foundation right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like the first couple issues, they went straight back to Doctor Doom. And mm-hmm. I was like, dude, aren't we supposed to be like building the future?
And come like September, I think like come like October or November or something like that, Fantastic Four comes back and FF remains. So they're going to be two separate books written by Hickman.
I don't know. I don't think Fantastic Four can support two books.
Yeah. Well, again, one of them is going to be Future Foundation, and one of them is going to be Fantastic Four. So who knows if the same character is going
to
be in it.
I just felt like if Reed founded the Future Foundation because he wanted to build a better world, mm-hmm. why isn't the first couple issues about that rather than, like, Doctor Doom?
That's because issue 3 or 4 is about that, and then moving on, it is. No, again, I agree with you that they really should have just gone straight to the world-building stuff.
And, like, if you're going to be building the world, you don't need Spider-Man on your team.
Yeah, sure you do. He spins webs.
Okay.
No, I've been liking FF more past issue 1. Than I did issue 1, but issue 1 was good for the return of Nathaniel and everything, and did have some, like, my favorite moment in that was when Nathaniel actually questions Reed's actions, because everybody else is like, yeah, sure, Reed, whatever you say, and he's like, what? And he's like the only member that of the group that's actually willing to say, no, Reed, you're not perfect, shut up,
douchebag.
Yeah.
Are you digging the white?
Not really.
Okay. Me either. I like Spider-Man's costume, but yeah. I don't like...
you mean
like
anti-venom?
Right. Yes.
Nah, it just like, especially the things...
Why do they bother putting the spider on Spider-Man because, and like not the three... octagons.
Because he could choose his own costume. That's why. Because Spidey doesn't like three octagons.
It's like, you know what, dudes? I'll be in the same color, but fuck your design. I'm going to do my shit.
Well, and his outfit can then transform into his regular outfit if he wants to.
Oh, dude, I read Spidey 666, and he does it, like, all the time now.
Yeah, I know.
But he's like, I can't figure out how to get short sleeves. It's fucking August.
I'm like God, how long? Like, I'm at least six issues behind on Spidey. The last issues I read were with the Avengers Academy guys.
Okay, those are good. I like those.
Yeah, that was what, six? Was that 6 issues ago or something like that? Because I haven't started Spider Island yet.
Well, this is just the prelude. The first issue came out, I think, last week. But
okay,
got it yet?
Yeah. I hear a bunch of people turn
Spidey
into Spider-Man.
Has been really consistent. I like it.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad Dan Slott's writing good stuff.
I like it.
It's all good. It's all good. All right. What else you want to talk about? Anything else?
What else did we not do?
Because we don't have to talk about everything. Because I mean, we did Heroes for Hire already, so we don't have to talk about that.
Okay, we talked about that. End of Brightest Day.
Oh God,
since
man.
That we originally said we're gonna do 23-24.
Holy.
That was the same month as Super Dinosaur and Fighting Avenger, so we should just kind of.
Well, Swamp Thing came back. All right, we're done.
Yeah, what was the fucking point? Oh my God.
And I liked Brightest Day. I loved Brightest Day.
Swamp Thing comes back, and we're going to relaunch.
Yeah.
What?
Well, because, okay, but still, Brightest Day was the best thing since 52 for me.
It was, but I felt like the Swamp Thing at the end on the last three issues was like out of nowhere.
And everything. And...
out of nowhere. Like, I would have rather them just, like, you know, finish their stuff and been like, hey, you all can keep your lives. That's awesome. End of story. White Lantern is cool with you. I would have been happy with that.
Yeah, no.
Because honestly, there was no build up to a final villain or anything, like even past halfway. So.
Uh huh. Well, my main problem with Brightest Day, and I mean, I guess I get this that you know they were trying to once and for all get rid of the blackness. And God, that sounds wrong. Let me the Black Lantern entity, because if they're trying to get rid of the blackness, they need to get rid of Black Lightning. They're trying to get rid of the black entity and everything. So yeah, it made sense to have the whites and everything. And the white God, I need to stop saying that. What the hell, man?
Jeff Johns' fault.
Brightest Day is such a race war. It's just not even funny, but.
Where's Sean Pryor? Come on.
Christ, man. Superman Returns is a bad movie.
Rocco Comics, come on.
But no, that they were trying their best to get rid of all of the dark energy and everything. And I understand that they try to, you know, use, I guess, an elemental entity to do that, but. It came out a little bit out of left field for me, and it left. Dead man in a state that
they should have left him alive. That was
exactly
the most interesting part about it.
Yeah, man, he should have totally stayed alive, man. And
he's
apparently still gonna have a relationship with Dove, even though he's dead.
It's gonna be like, I'm gonna possess Hawk, and Hawk's gonna fuck the shit out of you, even though you don't like Hawk. It's a total asshole.
That is,
but it's me. I'm Dead Man.
That is messed up.
That is messed up, but I mean, hey,
I do not support that.
Have you been watching True Blood?
Oh, God. I haven't watched Sundays. Shut up. I haven't watched Sundays.
Oh, man. I mean, no, well, not even like last week.
Oh, yeah,
week,
no.
2 weeks ago when he was his brother.
Yeah. Oh, my.
That's messed up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, True Blood has been. Oh, no, my favorite thing about the. Well, I mean, you know this, but that I finally figured out. Oh, yeah, my mom has HBO Go. I should probably do something with that.
Yeah, except the app for that sucks on Android for some reason.
Oh, really? That sucks.
It's like I got my friends when he was in town, I got his password because he's like, I'm just using. We just have it for Entourage. When Entourage ends, I'm going to cancel it. I was like, okay, cool. I can at least try it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, like, you can't even stream stuff over Wi-Fi.
Oh, that
like
sucks.
The Netflix app works great for it,
man.
And Hulu is a little bit better. I haven't messed around with that app on Android too much, but like the HBO Go app, you'll be streaming something, you'll be watching it. It's like, cool. It's kind of low res, whatever. It's on my phone. And then the video will disappear, and it'll have a thing saying like, "This is an audio stream only."
What?
It's like, why don't you just stop the whole stream?
Yeah,
like,
what the hell?
I don't want to listen to the movie. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I'm only really doing streaming on my laptop connected to the TV, so I'm not really doing it on the go too much. But
that's much better.
Yeah, the online app works damn good, but I haven't really tried it out too much on the iPod Touch yet.
What pissed me off is I was watching the Good Hair documentary last night, and I stopped 30 minutes before it ended because I wanted to go to bed, and then I pulled up HBO Go today, and it's like gone.
Oh, that sucks.
I'm like, what the fuck, man?
That sucks. That really sucks. Yeah. I gotta watch. I think I'm too behind on Entourage now. So
yeah, Entourage is, you know, it's not as great as it was, but it's still, I like this last one. That was funny.
Oh, no, nothing can stay as good as it was, man.
Oh, yeah. Season 3 is like tops for me.
Yeah.
3 and 4.
All right. Since we've stopped talking about Brightest Day.
True Blood, like, yeah. The one thing that itches me about True Blood, it's like, you have Jessica, and she's writing, what's his face? Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do they not pay anybody else to get naked in here other than Anna Paquin? What the fuck? I mean, yeah. I love Anna Paquin. I love seeing her naked
Jessica,
every episode.
Jessica's damn hot, and I want to see some tits.
Oh, exactly. Or even Tara. I'd like to see Tara's once in a while.
The
with the lesbian scene and stuff. I think you saw the lesbians, but you didn't see Tara's. I was like, come on.
The maturity level of this episode has just gone downhill, like, at least 75%.
F-words like a sixth grader tonight. So
yes, you have. Yes, you have, man. And hey, if this is what you people want, by all means. If not, then oh well. But
yeah, so brightest day, kind of disappointing.
Yeah, but the rest of the series was good, and I'm used to lackluster endings when it comes to DC. It's true, though. It's absolutely true. I'm used to lackluster endings with DC. I've been disappointed by almost...
Other than this one.
Let's see. Infinite Crisis ended sort of blah for me.
Really?
Yeah, it did.
I really like Infinite Crisis. I don't get the hate on Infinite Crisis.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't get it.
All right.
Final Crisis, I get that.
Oh, no. Final Crisis ended really, really badly.
Like, Final Crisis was like, ow, my butt hurts. What?
And I'll say again, I reread it, and on a reread, it made a lot more sense, but the ending was still shit.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, yeah, this is going to be game-changing. Like, no, it's not. Shut up. Like, Batman went away. He's back now. Whatever. Yeah. Well, and that's even another thing. The Return of Bruce Wayne ended lackluster for me. With the whole, like, Bat-Bot.
That was lame.
It was really lame. The only good part was Tim Drake in the corner saying, called it.
You know, honestly, I like the Return of Bruce Wayne, like the one-shots with Red Robin and Oracle when they highlighted the other characters. I like that a lot better than the Grant Morrison stuff.
I agree.
To be quite honest.
Yeah, because the Batgirl one was just another issue with Batgirl. I like that. Yeah, even though you're not reading Batgirl because you suck.
Hey, it's over now. Who cares?
Yeah, well, now you can read it in trades and tell me how awesome it was.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's see. We got a couple more left.
Let's do some Double D Daredevil.
All right. Daredevil Reborn. So, he got reborn, huh?
I don't know what happened in Shadowland. I read the first issue, and I guess he went bad.
Shadowland was not very good.
But he was taken over by the hand, right?
Yeah, I read about 3 issues of it and just lost interest.
And this is like, this is just Matt Murdock in the desert.
Yeah.
Daredevil Reborn number 1. That's all you need to know.
God, man.
He's Matt Murdock in the desert, and he meets some kid, right?
Yeah.
He meets some kid.
Well, okay. My here's my problem, okay? I like Daredevil, and wow, I've gotten really Brooklyn. Let me roll back my Brooklyn accent a little bit.
No, do it. I'm getting all gangsta. You can get all Brooklyn. It's good, man. It's fucking good.
And you just turned Boston trying to do that.
I'll try to do my old roommate Brad Pennsylvania accent. Water. I need to get some water, dude.
Pocket con, have it, yad. My main problem is this. I like Daredevil stories that are a little bit grounded. I like Daredevil stories that are mainly happen in cities. I like Daredevil stories where he's a lawyer. I like Daredevil stories where he's blind and fighting crime. I do not like Daredevil stories where he's in the desert trying to find himself.
It's like, I'm going to jump off a cactus. Ow!
Yeah.
Didn't see the needle with my x-ray vision.
Ah, man. Like, this. The best way to describe this issue was just disappointing. I was not a big fan.
It doesn't say what he did wrong. He's not trying to atone for anything. It's just like, I'm going to run to the desert because I need a tan. And I'm going to grow a goatee because I can.
I mean, my main problem, I was a huge fan of Diggle's Thunderbolts. Like, I liked that a lot. And then all the stuff he did on Daredevil, it stopped grabbing me about halfway through. And then once he did Shadowland, I just lost interest. I turned myself off. I thought, okay, maybe Daredevil Reborn is the point where I should jump back on. And then, like, right after we picked this, I see Daredevil number 1 written by Mark Waid and with art by Marcos Martin. And I'm like, why am I reading this?
Yeah. So, did you read the rest of the series?
No.
The other three?
Did okay. you?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't read Daredevil.
Yeah. You haven't even read the old stuff?
No, you know, I've read that. I have the first two Brubaker trades. I've read all the Maliv stuff. I all have right. the Kevin Smith stuff.
Good. All right.
But, like, currently, like, after that, I like it, but it's not, like, something I have to buy monthly.
No, once
stuff that they've put out reads better in trade, I think.
Once Brew left the title, I was uninterested. That's sadly the way it goes for me. Because I really liked what Ed Brubaker was doing with, you know, the prison arc and everything and with the Kingpin. But Andy Diggleman, I like the guy. I've liked a lot of his stuff. But this was just not one of them, and it just fell way flat for me.
I'm starting to think with, like, Brubaker, like, I'm just going to read Brubaker on Cap mm-hmm. and nothing else. Because, like, he jumped off Iron Fist after 12 issues.
Yeah.
He jumped off X-Men after maybe 12 issues or
no,
so.
No, no, no. No, he was on X-Men for about 36 because he co-wrote with Fraction for a while.
Okay. That. All right. He did that. He jumped off Secret Avengers after 12 issues. Mm-hmm. Not even.
Yeah.
7 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I'm not going to pick up any other Brubaker shit other than Cap.
Okay.
I think. I mean, to me, it's like he does Cap and he does like Criminal and Incognito and any other thing is just kind of him messing around but not to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. To me.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I liked his Daredevil stuff. I want to get the other trades in the run. That may be the only exception, but, like, anything after this, unless he says, like, I'm totally invested in blah, 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 man, because I have a beard and I talk like this.
Well, pick up Incognito if you haven't.
I haven't picked up Criminal either. It's on my list.
Give Incognito a chance. If you like Incognito, you probably wind up liking Criminal, but
I really
want to
pick up Sleeper.
Well, oh, dude, you will fucking love Sleeper.
That's what I want to pick.
Chris took it out from the library a little while back, and I read both trades, and it was amazing. They have collections of all 12 issues of both seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So volume 1 is 12 issues, volume 2 is 12 issues, and that's totally worth a pickup, man.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you don't have to be a fan of Wildstorm to like it, but you know, Grifter shows up at one point, and there's a couple others Wildstorm characters, but it's totally a standalone. You don't have to worry okay. about it too much.
Cool.
I mean, the art on this was okay, but it was nothing special either. Like, I mean, David Gianfelice, or however you pronounce his name.
Looked like Giuseppe Camicoli.
Yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. No, you're right. I don't know. It's just, maybe it was part of it that it was taking place in you know, a desolate area. Like, there felt like there was just so little to it.
Should have been like Desolate Devil Reborn.
Desolate Devil. Yeah, I would totally read Desolate Devil.
Sand Devil Reborn.
Sand Devil. Well, you can't do what a devilish devil or something like that, because isn't that what the public domain character is? Or
sure.
Darkest Devil
or
like,
something? What if he made his costume like sand colored and it'd been like Gila Monster Reborn.
Christ. Yeah, no thank you.
Okay, so moving on. Daredevil number 1, Mark Waid.
Much
Dude.
Better.
Paulo Rivera.
Much better.
Man, oh man.
Oh, Daredevil, how I've missed you.
And this is like fun. This is like almost Spider-Man, but using Daredevil's powers.
It's like
it was Spider-Man type fun.
Well, and what's great about this,
it wasn't depressing.
Well, no, it wasn't depressing, but
it's been in a while.
you could basically just say forget it to all of Andy Diggle's run. Like, get rid of that entirely, end Ed Brubaker's run, begin Mark Waid's run. That's it. Like, so little, well, okay, not that so little has changed, but that's the Daredevil feel that I got from this, only, like you said, a lot more fun.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you know, he's back to basics again. Which
but
is
you know what? I think part of the fun is Paulo Rivera.
Oh, my God.
And then you have the Marcos Martin backup. It's like, those two guys, Dude. They're so similar right now.
Mm-hmm.
but they can do no wrong.
Oh, like, dude. Yeah.
When both of them were doing the Spider-Man shit,
mm-hmm.
every one of those issues was an A-plus issue.
Yep.
Because those guys, I mean, this is the cool stuff that I like. That's like, this is the new, you know, the comics for the 21st century. They're taking risks with their art style. Mm-hmm. It's not hyper-visualized.
Yeah.
The panel storytelling is great. They cross some boundaries. They're doing inventive new things with storytelling and panels.
This is Jack Kirby's legacy.
Yeah, that's what these guys are.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. I mean, hell, if Marcos Martín was on that Busiek book, maybe yeah. I'd be enjoying it a lot more.
And what I really liked about the Marcos Martín backup, it's basically like it's just like a standalone story. It's like Daredevil and Foggy. They're just walking together.
Mm-hmm.
But he's using like big panels and drawing a big scene, but you still see the characters moving throughout the scene.
Yep.
And, like, the subway scene, I thought that was cool. I really dug that.
Yeah. No, dude, I mean, what's... Okay, number one, is Daredevil in New York?
Check.
Okay, number two, is Foggy Nelson one of the side characters?
Check.
Number three, is he no longer the head of a ninja organization?
Check.
Okay, is he a warrior?
Check.
All right, you're good. You're good. Check's in the mail.
You know what, though? I liked the beginning page.
Yeah.
It's like, here's Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his one-page origin. It was cool.
Yeah. No, dude, and it caught absolutely anybody up that hadn't been reading Daredevil beforehand. I mean, I'm sure you've probably heard his origin at least once or watched it on the screenplay by Ben Affleck, barf, but...
Matt Damon, I love you.
Matt Damon. Yay. But it's always good to be able to get everything out there. Like, you know what this reminded me of a little bit? Also Superman. How you get, like, everything Superman in, like, four pages mm-hmm. in his origin.
Dude, how cool was the panels where it's like Daredevil's echoscope vision?
Mm-hmm.
But you saw the spot?
Yep.
And he's, like, got holes carved out of him and stuff?
That was good shit.
You have to open it to see it, people. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, no, just overall, and, you know, I mean, again, I hate to say that I'm rating for trade for this, but I am. I'm not picking it up regulars just because I'm picking up too much right now, and I had to, you know, limit myself, but I am going to read the hell out of this. I might even just pick it up in hardcover just because it's just that pretty, and Mark Waid, man, welcome to Daredevil. Enjoy your stay. I hope it's a long-running one.
I hope it continues to be fun, because we've had too many, like, emo Daredevils.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I think we're done with emo Daredevil. Frank Miller did it.
Kevin Smith did it.
What's his face? Bendis did it.
Well, Kevin Smith started.
Wasn't really emo.
No, are you kidding me?
Really?
Dude.
I mean, shit happened.
Karen,
I guess the art was too fucking bright.
Karen Page. Why. Enough said.
Yeah, but I didn't know who she was, so.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that was the first Daredevil I read. What do you want me to do? I'm just saying, that's a me, huh?
But still, that led him down the path to Wah-Wah. I mean, his entire marriage to Mia is, you know, almost like shell-shocked from that.
Okay.
Yeah. And poor Mia.
Mia who? Mia who?
Or yeah, exactly.
What? He was married?
Yeah.
When?
Never heard of her.
What?
That's so, almost like stricken from the record at this point, man. this is probably one of the few 5 out of 5s I would give. I mean, like, yeah. Everything works.
5 out of 5.
Without a doubt in this issue, man. So, straight up, I'm happy. I want more of this, and I can't wait to read more of it.
Amen.
All right. That it?
Well, no, we still have some more.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, we do. I have 3 on my desk.
All right. Well, what do you got?
Since we're on D's, Dollhouse.
Okay.
Epitaphs. I didn't read it. I'm not going to read it.
Oh, really?
I just opened it, and the art looks like crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's halfway respectable crap, but, like, remember the True Blood comic we read?
Mm-hmm.
That was some cool art.
Yeah.
This is not so cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it works well enough. I mean, for the story, but I'll admit it's not... Well, okay, actually, what I like about it is that they don't care nearly as much about getting perfect renditions of the actors.
Yeah.
Because when you try to do that too much, that's where you fail. That's when you start looking Photoshopped, and this art doesn't really roll into that nearly as much as I was, you know, accidentally, you know, like basically I was hoping it would not go there. Let's put it that way. And it doesn't with this. But I mean, what's good about the story is that if you actually watch Dollhouse, this is a straight continuation of where the last episode of Dollhouse left off. You obviously haven't watched Dollhouse yet.
I watched the first two episodes. I liked the first one was okay. The second one was kind of like, I kind of liked that she was like a secret agent, like new personalities. But other than that, she was a wooden character.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. You started at the beginning. It does get
does
much.
Does she develop a personality?
She
later?
Does. Yeah, no, she does. By the end of season one and season two, it's totally there, man. It's just it takes a while to build up, and that's the whole reason the show never caught on with the main crowd is that if you had chosen a different lead actress, or if you had not allowed fucking Eliza Dushku to be executive producer of this show, it probably would have been a better show because she had too much
wooden.
Yeah, she had too much control. That's why, you know, she wanted her character to be front and center when probably the better way to go would have been to explore the entire Dollhouse. And
yeah, weren't there other agents, right?
Yeah, there are. And you learn a lot more about them about the second half of season one and season two. And once you do, you like them a lot more than you like Echo. So again, it might be worth, you know, once you're done with everything else you're watching, to head back to it and give it another
shot.
I want
to watch 24. I want to watch Battlestar. I'm rewatching Mad Men.
Yeah, see, I haven't even watched Mad Men yet.
Almost done with 30 Rock.
Yeah. Although I'm angry at Mad Men because Mad Men might be why Walking Dead's budget got cut.
I think AMC's just messed up.
Well, AMC doesn't actually own Mad Men, so they have to pay Mad Men an arm and a leg. And because of that...
Hey, go on Ain't It Cool News. Mm-hmm. And read the article on the left-hand sidebar about AMC needs a regime change. And in that article, he tells you to read this other article. Go read that and then read that again. It's a pretty nice in-depth piece on like what's wrong with AMC.
Gotcha.
And it explains all that.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, for anything that you need to know about this one-shot is that it's a... At this point, it's a post-apocalyptic world where the Dollhouse originally was you could, you know, basically rent out these blank slates, imprint whatever impersonality you wanted on them, and have a good time. And they could also be used as, you know, covert agents if you wanted to, as, you know, if you needed to, you know, basically disarm a bomb, you could do that. But eventually, the technology that did this became... rampant, like it went widespread to basically any radio or any cell phone or anything like that could turn people into blank slates, and it ruined the entire world. Like everybody went crazy after that.
So, like, I could go track down the hot high school cheerleader, turn her into a blank slate, and do whatever I wanted to.
Or
like say whether I wanted a mean, nasty revenge or just a cool night in the sack.
Yeah, unless she had already gone insane from the whole widespread thing, because part of the did I fall asleep was that it also led to like rioting and like rampaging, because all of these blank slates eventually get written to be like psychopaths.
Cool.
Yeah, and there are a few people that are resistance. And that's what this entire issue is about. So if you watch Dollhouse, this is for you. If you didn't watch Dollhouse, watch Dollhouse first, and then read it. There's an ongoing series that's also going to be taking place after this. So this is sort of like the jumping on point. And it's written by the better Whedon, Jed Whedon. So, hey, how about that?
Really? Joss is not God?
No. Fuck no.
So are you hesitant about Avengers?
A little bit. I am glad that none of his pet people appear to be in it, so that's good. I mean, that might make it a little bit better. That Nathan Fillion is nowhere near this project makes me happy.
You don't like Nathan Fillion?
I like Nathan Fillion. I don't like that he's in every single thing that Joss Whedon's ever touched. I mean, same could be said for, you know, there's no Felicia Day in this movie, which is good, because Felicia Day is in Dollhouse, and Felicia Day
is
in
the
Buffy.
Black girl?
What's up?
Is that the black lady?
No, Felicia Day is the redhead. She's later on in Dollhouse. She's introduced in the episode of Epitome 1. From Dr. Horrible. You ever seen Dr. Horrible?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I don't remember her face.
She's the one that Dr. Horrible is going after.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember.
And she was also in Buffy Season 7.
Nope. Okay.
Okay. Wait, you haven't watched Buffy?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
I was a little kid when that was on.
No, dude, it's all good. I mean, I didn't watch
it. He said, this is not for you.
I didn't watch Buffy and Angel until years afterwards anyway, so it's all good. But you should watch it at some point. You'd probably enjoy
it. I will.
I
want to.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that with that. What else we got?
We got Ghost Rider, and then I think we're done.
Oh, we didn't talk Ghost Rider yet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he's a Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider!
You got caught up in the Ghost Rider. Yes, I did just do Crossfire. So, yeah.
Best game ever.
So, Ghost Rider 0.1, which equals Ghost Rider Issue 1.
Yes.
God, I hate that. So, this issue is the beginning of the series, beginning of a relaunch of Ghost Rider, written by a guy I never heard of, with art by a guy I never heard of.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
art by a guy you never heard of?
Wait, hold on.
Matthew Clark?
Oh, Matthew Clark, my bad, sorry. Never mind. I take it
like,
back.
Like, he did the cool Outsiders issues?
No, I take it back,
And he was on the Doom Patrol book that, What's-His-Face couldn't drop?
Yeah, no, I totally take it back, sorry. I misread the
Matthew
name
Clark
on the cover.
Matthew Clark is outstanding.
Yeah. Well, Matthew Clark, no, the art on this is probably better than any Matthew Clark art I've seen. It looks different, too. That's why I couldn't pick it at first. Like, I just now, I'm like, hey, Matthew Clark, okay. And Rob Williams, not to be confused with the singer, Robbie Williams. Yeah, so it starts out with Ghost Rider being Ghost Rider.
He's all, put the monkey back on.
No, not that one.
Oh, okay, different one.
Yeah, no. But my favorite line in the entire book, Avengers, Fantastic Four, X-Dudes, they can all kiss my bony, flammable ass.
X-Dudes.
It just,
it's a PC term.
It was hard to not read that in a Bender voice too. Like you can kiss my flammable ass.
You know what though? I kind of like Ghost Rider in this outfit, like just black leather pants, maybe just a black T-shirt mm-hmm. or not T-shirt, a dress-up shirt and a jacket
mm-hmm.
or jacket, without all the spikes and all the nonsense. I mean, it looks just as a straight black, like without any highlights and stuff, it looks cool.
It's old school Johnny Blaze. I mean, this is what he looked like when he first showed up.
Didn't he still have like a Daredevil motorcycle jacket, Evil Knievel type shit?
You know what?
Because here it's
in the
like,
couple,
dude, I'm totally lounging around the house. I'm in my jeans and my T-shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm going out. I put on a nice black button up, and then it's like, fam, I turn into Ghost Rider. My skin's on fire, but nothing else comes out. It just looks cool the way they do it.
It does. Like it. Yeah.
It's too bad he gives it up.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler.
Ooh, oh no. Well, if you read the issue, you would know that, and I'm sure in issue one it's like that. But, yeah, no, he gets offered by this dude named Adam, who may or may not be a demon or a cowboy, one or the other, or a demon cowboy. Gets offered
up. Midnight cowboy.
Gets offered up the chance to be rid of Ghost Rider completely. It's not like that hasn't happened before, a high Danny Ketch. But Johnny Blaze takes the offer.
It's like, dude, take this route down this building, like out of your crappy movie, and you'll be rid of Ghost Rider. It'd be like you're exercising the ghost of Nicolas Cage.
I have one question for
you. Oh, wait, but you're making a sequel.
I have one question for you.
Crap.
Do you like Italian?
Give me my jelly beans.
Put the monkey back on. Man, we're right now we're totally just like pandering to anybody who listened to us back when like we first started out. He basically rides fast enough where the Ghost Rider entity is like rid of him entirely. The main difference here is that unlike Danny Ketch, who was related to Johnny Blaze, this one now the entity is just going to go into somebody that he does not know at all. I don't know if Johnny Blaze is going to be involved with the series because I did not pick up issue one.
I did.
Is he in it?
Yes.
Well, then I guess he's involved in the series. Is it indeed in someone that we never met before?
Never met before.
Good. That's also
not
good.
Yet.
Okay.
So you know how I was talking about how he looks cool?
Mm-hmm.
With, like, without all the chains and stuff on the cover and just, like, a black t-shirt?
He winds up with all the chains and shit in issue one?
Well, no. On the girl, it's she's in, like, a black leather outfit, and they give her a cool, like, fire whip.
Oh, yeah, no, I see that on the preview page in the back of point one.
Okay, yeah, so it's a motorcycle handle.
Okay.
And then I guess it turns into a fire whip.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But then also, kind of like the Tron light cycle, she's just, like, takes it out and does something to it, and then her motorcycle, like, appears out of it.
Bitchin'.
Like, out of Tron Legacy. That's kind of cool. But she has a weird shoulder pad and gauntlet.
Oh, yeah. Because they had to do something, didn't they?
And then not only does she have, like, the fire whip or whatever, she's got this weird scythe. And it's like, are you going to have a whip or a scythe? Whip?
It's called a wythe. A wythe.
And no, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just the scythe.
Okay.
And she holds the motorcycle handle, and the motorcycle comes out of it.
All right.
I'm wrong. I'm thinking a whip because of the chains and stuff.
Also, like, did Marvel really have to have a preview for Cap number one that month in, like, all their books? Because it's not like anybody was not going to pick that book up.
Hey, it's better than, whatchamacallit, the Subway Heroes.
Oh, God. Oh, make the pain stop.
Anyway, So it ends up in this girl, and she just kind of appears out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And because Fear Itself is going on right now, of course we have to fuck everything up and mess with Sin.
Yeah.
So Ghost, the new girl Ghost Rider.
Well, because, I mean, Fear Itself is happening even in point one, so it's not like that's any surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
So she decides she's going to go up and fight Sin.
Okay.
So Sin kicks her ass.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Flipping through. Actually, it's a pretty entertaining battle. All
right. Well, let's focus on point one a little bit.
It looks like Maria Hill,
mm-hmm.
and then Johnny Blaze shows up. He's like, "Oh, cool! I don't have any powers anymore." And then Mephisto shows up, and it's like, "JMS, you bastard!" Or no, Joe Quesada.
Well, a little bit of both.
It's magic. We don't have to explain it.
Oh, you bastard!
But then there's this weird backup tale in the end of number one.
Mm-hmm.
Where it kind of explains how they got the entity, like there are a bunch of candidates, and then it ends up in the girl,
mm-hmm.
and then it kind of ends. So it's okay. Kind of weird that way. It's a totally different artist there.
Same. Oh, so it's a totally different artist, not Matthew Clark?
Well, in the backup.
Okay.
But Matthew Clark does the main part of the story.
Awesome.
Where Parsons, like,
still on ink? Is Parsons still on ink?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's one of the things that I think is making me like Matthew Clark's art even more is Sean Parsons on inks. I think he reins in some of the weird faces that Matthew Clark mm-hmm. can occasionally do. And you don't get much of that in point one, which I really, really liked. And the writing is pretty on point too. Like this is a Johnny Blaze that I can relate to, you know, a dude who doesn't want to turn into Ghost Rider while he's drunk or else he'll puke all over himself. I mean, that's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. I haven't read any Ghost Rider and I really enjoyed point one though.
Okay.
Cause it was kind of standalone.
Well,
it was cool.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. No, overall, I was happy with it, and you know, maybe somewhere down the road I'll track down the rest of Ghost Rider if I feel like it. But it's a point one issue that, like I said, really should have been an issue zero or an issue one.
Yeah, because that's the hook right there.
Yeah,
is in that one, and if you just pick up issue one, mm-hmm. like you're missing a whole issue.
Yeah, no, it sucks that way. Like, see here, and here's my problem. I mean, I understand why they did point one, because I guess, you know, since Johnny Blaze wasn't going to be the main character of the new Ghost Rider, I guess they want to deal with that in this, but it makes more sense to have it be issue one if you're going to do that, because that, it's more of the sleight of hand, you know, because they've done that before with books, where it starts off with one character, and then by the end of it, it's an entirely different character in the reins. That's awesome. I would have liked to have seen that a little bit more. And if you do that in issue one and then have issue two be the new Ghost Rider, it's much better. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you.
All right. It's all good. It's all good.
Or just do a double-sized issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not like Marvel doesn't love doing that, charging $4.99 for a book.
Amen, brother.
They could put a backup of like Ghost Rider number one from the 70s in it just for the hell of it, because they love doing that too.
All right, so...
Have you been picking up any of the DC Universe Presents 100-page specials?
No, I haven't.
Mistake!
However, I will for... They're finally releasing the 80-page Elseworlds. The one that got pulped back in the day. They're finally releasing that as a DC Presents.
Which one is that?
That's the one that had Kyle Baker's Superboy in it.
I don't think I picked up that one.
This was years ago. Like, I mean, it was originally covered on Comic Book Resources. Like, about not even a quarter of the issues made it to the UK before they got pulped, and then like it became like a hot commodity online. Like, no one can find this issue, and it goes for like $2,000. But now they're finally releasing it as a DC Presents because you know, since Paul Levitz isn't there anymore, they could do whatever they want.
What was wrong with Paul Levitz? Is he such like a...
No, Paul Levitz liked what he liked and didn't like what he didn't like. That's pretty much it. Which DC Presents have you picked up?
Well, I've picked up a bunch. The first one, obviously, was the Ethan Van Sciver Batman Catwoman, like, two-issue thing that's been hard to find. Like, you can always find the first issue, but you can never find the second.
Okay.
And it's a two-issue, like, limited series. Mm-hmm. Him and some girl writer I've never heard of.
That's cool.
But I picked that one up. That was great. Awesome. Ethan Van Sciver, love it. Mm-hmm. What else was worth picking up? Well, The Green Lantern Will World with Seth Fisher.
I've read that before, so I
and didn't... they have that in hardback out there and soft cover and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you can pick it up for, like, $8 in a soft cover like this, it's totally a steal.
Well, Seth Fisher's... Flash was amazing too. The one that he did where Flash goes into the future, and I remember one of my favorite parts about that was Flash goes into the future. It's like, yeah, we have no record of you because you idiots thought that putting everything on digital was a good idea.
Giant EMP, boom.
Yeah, I know.
No, that was really good, and that was really dense.
Okay.
I picked up Son of Superman. That was interesting.
Okay.
That was Elseworlds from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I pick up? The most recent one I got was the Batman Dark Knight Dark City.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool. It's Peter Milligan, Kieran Dwyer, and this is where Grant Morrison got the idea for the Barbados stuff.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So that was interesting.
That's cool.
Based on what was going on recently.
Oh, speaking of DC Presents, one of the DC Presents that they did come out with was Chase a little while back. And, you know, I was bitching about that because they do, like... What is it like? I think like 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7, like for the hell of it, even though it was only like an 8-issue series or like a 10-issue series. They're finally going to be releasing the whole of Chase as a trade paperback and a hardcover. Huh. And this is work that J.H. Williams did back in the day that has never actually been fully reprinted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... I love the character of Chase too. She's basically an agent for the superhero, I always forget the name of the agency. What is it, like the DHA or something like that?
The one Bones heads up.
Yes, exactly.
CEO or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one the Manhunter was working for a while.
Yeah.
Because Chase was in that book for a while. And they're finally going to release all that. I think even including the issue of Batman that she first appeared in. Which would be very, very cool. But I know they did a DC Presents with Young Justice for a while, and some of the old Judd Winnick Green Lanterns have been collected. So
yeah, I already picked up those. There's some ones with like Superman. There's two Jerry Ordway Shazam ones I didn't pick up, so I don't know if they're worthwhile or not. But the ones that I mentioned, I thought were definitely worth the $7 or $8 that those things cost.
All right, cool. Well, if I can pick them up in you know, even cheaper bins at cons, I will do that.
I would think that you would be able to, so.
Well, good. I will look for them.
Yep.
First look at Batman Earth 1 cover. Is this actually new or old?
It's new. Yeah. It's a shitty cover.
Oh, dear. They're finally doing it, huh?
I mean, I like, what's his face? I forget the artist's name, but that cover sucks.
Gary Frank.
I love Gary Frank, but that cover sucks.
That's pretty... blah.
Boring.
Yeah. Yeah, well. But, yeah.
I mean, the Superman Earth 1 cover has some pizzazz to it.
Oh, yeah. I like what Marvel's been doing, like, sort of as, like, their counter for the DC Presents. Like, they've just been releasing random, like, old stories that have just never been released. Like, one of them was a Thunderbolts a story that Nicieza did back when he was still doing Thunderbolts, like, in the 90s. And they just released it for the hell of it. It was Nicieza and Bagley. It was a one-shot that was never released. And now it is.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there's, like, I know that there was a, I think an old Dave Givens story was released and stuff. Like, yeah, like a bunch of random shit Marvel's just been putting out for the hell of it. So, I think we're done, huh?
I think we are done.
Since it's like 2 hours and like 20 minutes now. So, yeah, have fun not editing this, because I'm sure you're not going to, because you suck.
Hey, I'm going to look for the long pause.
Good. I'm glad when I went to get up and do my water.
That was long.
Yeah, because that was long.
So it'll be like 2 hours and 35 minutes.
All right, then. We're good.
That's a good chunk, dude.
Well, you know what? If I send this to you tomorrow, it might actually be out by the end of the month.
Yes, it will be out.
So, in that case, talking about Review Corner, since we're going to be entirely caught up, let me bring up DCBS right here. We'll do an actual promo. Like,
Oh my god!
I know, on an episode that won't be outdated by the time the episode is out, like the last one. I love that. Like, hey, yeah, we'll just put it in anyway. But wait, none of these books are available. Ah, we'll do it anyway. Shut up.
Time travel. Do it.
Yeah. Next question. Yeah. Done the deal. Hey. You all suck. Buy my shiny metal ass. All right. So starting it off in DC, because that is a very good place to start. Hey, remember James Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy who used to write Starman and did Justice League for a while and did that Cry for Justice thing that's been completely written out of continuity.
Thank God.
Oh, my God, yes. Well, he's back, and he's doing Shade. So it should be good.
What is that?
Yeah, Shade, number one.
That's the Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, right?
No! Shade, you know, the guy who, like, shades into the shadows. That's what he does.
Oh. Who's the dude with the Technicolor Dreamcoat in Secret 7?
That's Shade the Changing Man.
What's the difference?
They're two different characters.
And they're both in DC.
Shade is the dude who actually becomes like a shadow man, the one that was in Cry for Justice.
But isn't there another shadow man that fights Hawkman?
Look, man, this dude's different, all right?
Okay, if you say so.
if you actually eventually read Starman, you'll see that Shade is a major part of it. But he was also in James Robinson's Justice League for a while. And
that guy.
Yeah, well, Shade number one of 12, so it's a 12 issue maxi, comes out this month. Actually, not this month, but it's solicited this month. It'll come out in October. Art by Cully Hamner. So hey, Cully Hamner, that's good.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
And cover by Tony Harris, because he was the original artist on Starman, where Shade showed up regularly for a while. 50% off of $2.99 for $1.49. James Robinson returns to the world of his acclaimed Starman series with a new 12-issue series starring the anti-hero known as the Shade. An attack at the Starman Museum kicks off a globe-hopping, century-spanning quest that will irrevocably change the Shade's life and ultimately shed light on his true origin. Artist extraordinaire Cully Hamner from Red kicks off the series, and upcoming issues will feature art by such luminaries as Darwin Cook, Javier Pulido, Jill Thompson, Fraser Irving, and Gene Ha. And I think just for the artists alone, I will be picking this up.
Kind of like Batman Europa, right?
No. The main difference is this one will actually come out. Fuck Europa. 50% off for $1.49, regular price of $2.99. That is our DC pick. Over in the world of Marvel, The Incredible Hulk is being relaunched. Yay!
Why couldn't they just keep it going? What the hell, man?
Because they don't relaunch books.
They went to 600, and then they're like, nah.
Because they don't relaunch books like those people over at DC. You hear me? They don't.
No, we don't do that.
No, no,
we don't
do
that.
Of course not.
We don't renumber books either, okay?
No, they don't.
No.
Well, at least the pedigree on this issue looks damn good. We got Jason Aaron, so yay. Jason Aaron's good.
Yay, I like him.
And Mark Silvestri.
Yeah, one issue.
The fuck up. Yeah, well, who knows? We'll see. It'll probably be about three issues before he's gone. That comes out on October 26th, and regular
Charlie
price.
Charlie Kirkham on after Silvestri.
Yeah, probably. Regular price of $3.99. You get it for $1.99, 50% off at DCBS. And our indie pick, Star Trek Legion of Superheroes number one, the crossover.
I bet this bucks your track record and it sucks.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so.
But it's Star Trek and Legion of Superheroes.
Who's writing it?
Chris Robertson.
Yeah.
What?
Is it like next gen Star Trek or like Spock Star Trek?
Spock Star Trek.
New Spock or old Spock?
Old Spock. Yeah.
I much prefer Siler Spock.
Yeah?
He's a badass.
No, he is pretty badass. I'll give you that.
He's dope.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at the Darryl, cover here.
Not Daryl.
And yes.
Is it Daryl?
Ooh, actually.
Julian.
Wait, is that cover drawn by who? Yes, it is. A cover by Phil Jimenez. How about that? And Keith Giffen's doing the alternate cover. But the artist. Wait, is he the artist as well? Am I reading this right here? Okay,
what?
The artist Jeffrey Moy. Okay, sorry. Yeah, the artist Jeffrey Moy, Phil Jimenez does the cover. Because it was very confusing on a DCBS site here. I thought it actually said Phil Jimenez was doing the art for the book as well.
Because you got your hopes up there.
Yeah, but no, this is going to be a crossover with Classic Trek and I guess current day Legion of Superheroes. So why not? 50% off for $1.99, regular price of $3.99. Yeah, this could buck my trend, but hey, it should just be genuine fun. So why not? Didn't Chris Robertson do something that we know? Because that name sounds familiar.
It is familiar.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. Chris Robertson, author. Let's see if this is the same dude. You know what? Let me do Comic Book DB. That's always the best place to look. Okay. Comics.
I get a feeling we're going to kick ourselves when you say it.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah. So that guy?
Actually, he's mostly a prose writer from the looks of things here.
Isn't there another Robertson that we've, like, read a bunch?
Yes, there is. But I don't think this is that dude. Let's see. Comic Book DB. Open up. Comic Book DB. Chris Robertson. Here we go. And I am indeed kicking myself. He did iZombie.
Ah,
like all of it. So there's that. Although I think he was.
Is that the prelude to iVampire, iZombie?
No, that is a different book. Jack of Fables. He did a fill-in issue for. He wrote like, oh, dumb, an idiot. He wrote the last issue of Superman.
Oh, he's the JMS guy.
Yeah.
Made it better.
Yeah.
As much as it could be made better.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
That's right.
I knew we had been
reading
some of his stuff.
Okay. There you go. And okay. and he was on Superman Batman for the world's finest issues.
All right. It's good.
Yeah. So, he does have a pedigree. So hopefully it will actually turn out okay here with this crossover. And make sure to use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with DCBS. DCBService.com. They're awesome. We're awesome. Share the awesome with us at DCBS. So you must have been missing us because this is about a 2 hour and 20 minute episode. So you people enjoy the love, okay? Because this is probably our one episode for the month.
Because Brent's going to France in September.
Really?
Yup.
What you doing in France?
Work.
Oh, you going there for work? Not even for pleasure?
I'm going for work, man. I get a day in Paris after I fly over, and that's about it.
That's.
But I get a weekend in Western France. So there's supposedly a bunch of castles, and you could go to like Normandy Beach if you want.
All right. Okay. So you'll get some sightseeing in it, at least a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. We'll take some photos and
eating crepes like crazy.
Ooh. We could always try to Skype from a hotel room in France. That'll work out well.
6 hours ahead of time, you're gonna stay up.
Yeah, just like that time we tried to
do it during the day.
Yeah, just like we tried to Skype from San Diego. That worked out really well.
No, that'll work because it'll be daytime and I'll be like ready to go to bed and you'll be like, dude, it's 3 o'clock. What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. That'll work.
They're 6 hours ahead over there.
No, I know. And since I'm currently jobless, that might actually work out. I'll just get on at 3 and it'll be 9 where you are. Because it's 6 hours, you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So
might have to do something.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But, we'll be back once he's back from France, probably, because... unless we want to talk, we are going to eventually do a wrap up of the summer movies. Like we're just going to review all of them in one shot because we did talk about them ahead of time. So we might as well actually talk about them after they've happened. And, once September's done in the beginning of October, we will be talking new DCU.
Yes, we will.
Mm-hmm. For a bunch of books. And, we might even do at the end of August, because should get our shipments in time, the first issue, actually the last issue of Flashpoint and the first issue of Justice League come out the last week in August. So we'll see about that.
That will arrive as I am on the plane.
Oui.
The plane.
The plane, boss, the plane. So when do you go out there exactly with that?
September 1st.
September. Oh, wow. Okay, so right on Labor Day.
Yep.
Wow, damn.
I'm working for Labor Day. Double pay.
Working for the weekend. Booyah. Look at you, man. Is this just like inspection work or is this something else?
Yes, it is inspection work.
Okay, cool.
For 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Sacre bleu.
Nice.
So I come back talking funny, you'll know why.
Well, yeah, you'll be you.
Then I get to go again in October.
Oh, wow.
And then in November.
Wait, seriously?
Over Thanksgiving.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
You get to spend Thanksgiving not in America?
I get to do it eating frog legs.
Oh, for fuck's sake. So this is a regular thing, huh?
Well, it's just those 3 trips and then it's done.
All right, that's good. For 2 week periods?
Yes.
Wow. Man.
Yes.
You're going to come back drunk on wine.
Mandy's gonna hate me.
Drunk on wine, fat on bread. That's exactly what you're gonna be. You're gonna come back with a snotty like mustache, and a beret. Oh, wee. The wine here is shit.
I'm gonna buy a black and white striped shirt too and a red beret.
Just like stop in the middle of the street and start acting out scenes from Captain America, only in mime.
Yes.
this episode is never going to end. I'm just going to keep making mime jokes.
Dude, I could drive down to see Wayne.
Because
He lives down here.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, doo, 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 doo. Hey, where's my next issue?
What is up with this sheet?
Harold Jinnett.
Oh, so, yeah, and by the time this episode comes out, it'll probably be done with Baltimore Comic Con. So I'm wishing after the fact the best of luck to Adam Withers and Comfort Love as they are up for a nomination at the Harvey Awards, as you know if you listened to the last episode. So hopefully it turned out well for them.
Good luck.
And hopefully they win for Rainbow in the Dark. So I could say I was involved with a Harvey winner. So yay.
We could put that on our banner.
Yeah. In fact,
Harvey Winner affiliated podcast.
Yes. Hey, dude, I'm able to vote in the Harveys now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. Just because I edited one book, I'm able to vote in the Harveys.
What book did you edit? Rav's book?
Rainbow in the Dark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I've been helping them out on Rainbow since it started coming out. Both Chris and I have been helping them out.
So you get to vote for your own book.
If I want to, yeah. But, you know, I also get to vote in other categories. So
I guess if you're running for president, you get to vote for yourself, too.
Sure you do.
Vote for someone else.
Dude, you know Obama voted twice.
With his U.S. passport from his Kenya birth. His Hawaiian birth certificate, right? Is that how he did it?
Oh, God, wow, you're turning French already. This is great. Putting America down just like a Frenchie. Bastard. All right, well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. You can check us out over at comictiming.net or on Facebook at facebook.com/comictiming. Because, yes, we do have that URL, and, yes, you are going to use it, whether you like it or not. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes and let us know what you think of this episode, and let us know that you'd rather us come put out episodes more than just once every few weeks. And
talk on the forums.
Yes, talk on the forums, damn it. Comicforums.com. And yet again, graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com, because I'm repeating myself. And Brent, good talking to you, man.
Yes.
All right. And to everybody else there on podcasting land, thank you for listening to us talk for this ramble of an episode.
We are not ashamed. We are not apologizing.
We are not apologizing. We are not ashamed. I apologize. I am ashamed. And as always, there's always time for comics. Oh, wait, no, my bad. Take that out,
no,
please. Take
no,
that out.
No.
Yeah, take that out, dude. Seriously, like, fucking edit the shit out of that. All right? Take that the fuck out. I don't want that in the episode.